much about.
What's this?
Oh, that's a CB. What'd you do with that as you push down on that thing and held that other thing down? And it makes your voice go up in radio waves.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Get in my belly!
I heard it. That was high and tight.
Our story is the story of two guys who start at the bottom, with a lot of hard work, continue along the bottom, and finally end up at the bottom.
Oh, yeah, that's an intriguing scenario.
Yeah, it's a rags-to-rags story.
Yeah, imagine it. Yeah, did you see the one about the guys who started at the bottom, stayed at the bottom, and at the end they were still at the bottom?
Mm, yes, that's our life.
So inspirational. Who'd go and see that?
I think I'd see that.
I'd go and see that.
I would do anything for love, but I won't do that.
I don't even know what that is.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Why? Have you ever? Why?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What, because I'm black?
Roll another one.
Are there any dogs up in this house?
Just like the other one.
Beat a dead horse till it's even deader.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Game changer.
Another
year. It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Ding, fries are done. Ding, fries are done.
Roll another one.
Your erection is showing.
Just like the other one.
Oh, yeah.
This one seems to be about to end.
Let's open up a blog.
I don't have another cent.
You and you.
But don't bug out that joint.
Smoke your weed.
Just pass it around.
The Houdini.
But don't bug out that joint, my friend.
Florida?
And now...
Do you smoke a lot of pot?
Medicinal, now. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Our feature presentation.
Oh, really?
It's like she doesn't says condescendingly. Believe him.
How could she not believe Lil Wayne? Come on. Hey, party people, welcome on into another all-new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Friday. This was the... am I wrong about this? Was this the first five-day work week of 2012? Because it felt like it was about 30 days long.
You might be right.
I think we got a little bit spoiled, you know, with the holidays. And then you come back and, you know, you start the year. You got that first day off because of where New Year's fell. And then, you know, next thing you know, it's Martin Luther King weekend. You got a day off there.
Yep.
Then all of a sudden the man comes to you and says he wants you to do five in a row. And you're like, what?
I'll tell you, this morning, normally my alarm goes off at 3:45. I might hit the snooze once. This morning, I hit the snooze. I don't know, man. I went back sound asleep and got up at 4:15. Like,
wow.
Sound asleep between every snooze, which is like,
wow.
I don't know, every 6 or 7 minutes.
That's
and
a lot of
snooze.
And
dreaming again. Yeah. That's a
Dude,
lot
that's
of
like,
snooze.
That's hit it like 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, thank God it's Friday.
Thank God it's Friday indeed. Here's a story to get you started. Beer Mug, I thought about you when I saw this story.
Yeah.
Well, you know how you struggle with your diet. You know you eat what you want and then you regret it. The 5 minutes you're eating, you love it, you're so happy, and then the whole rest of the day you hate yourself for what you've eaten.
Absolutely.
Here's Stacey Irvine. She is a 17-year-old British teenager who has been told by doctors that she must start eating something other than Chicken McNuggets because they are killing her.
That's all she eats.
She discovered Chicken McNuggets when she was 2 and has barely eaten anything since then. Listen to this. Horrified doctors learned of the teenager's chronic 15-year addiction after she collapsed and was rushed to the hospital struggling to breathe. She has never had vegetables or fruits. She was found to have anemia and swollen veins in her tongue.
Oh, my God.
What's up with that?
I don't know.
Just from eating Chicken McNuggets?
Apparently
from
so.
Apparently, just chicken McNuggets.
these are the side effects. Yesterday, she was recovering at home after being put on an urgent course of vitamins, which started in hospital with injections. Despite medics begging her to change her diet, she still cannot get enough of the chicken McNuggets. She says, I'm starting to realize that this might be really bad for me.
Is she, I missed it if you said it. Is she like super fat?
She's not at all.
She's
she
not.
Looks like she looks very healthy. Looks very normal, very healthy. 17 years old. She says they're her favorite. She says she also, it's not all she eats, by the way. She also eats Kentucky Fried Chicken and supermarket chicken. Her main meal every day, though, is Chicken McNuggets. Her mother just says she's at wit's end. She's praying that she can be helped before it's too late. It breaks my heart to see her eating those damn McNuggets. She's been told on no uncertain terms that she'll die if she carries on like this, but she says she can't eat anything else. The only other food she eats besides the KFC and the supermarket chicken is she eats French fries. She sometimes has toast for breakfast, and she eats potato chips throughout the day. So that's the extent of her diet.
Oh, my God. Here's the thing. The parents are like, we're at our wit's end. If you don't bring the kid chicken McNuggets, at some point, she's going to be hungry enough to eat something else.
Whatever it is you put
she
in front
will.
Of her.
When she's 3 years old, you could have broken this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
and maybe
you're right.
She wouldn't eat for 3 or 4 days. She'll be okay.
Yeah. I don't know if there's some sort of autism going on here, because you know how there are people who get into the routine
Directs.
Where they can't break it or
like
whatever
they
eat
it is. Subway every day for a year.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, I think, I mean, the, yeah, I know what you're saying. But I mean, there are some people who really do have, you know, they have a mental issue.
That's true.
Not,
maybe
not
it
that
is,
they're retarded or anything like that. It's just that they have some sort of an autism where they just can't see clear to do anything other than what they're used to doing.
Yeah.
So she says, I just couldn't face trying other foods. Mom gave up trying to give me anything else years ago. By the way, the mom has two other children, a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, both eat normally and healthy. So,
it's anyway, so weird.
It's sad. She's going to die.
It is a wake-up call. We talked about a guy a couple of years ago, remember, who had eaten over 10,000 Big Macs. Remember, he would have a Big Mac breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That guy.
Didn't we also talk about someone who, some kid who would only eat like peanut butter and jelly or something, like lived on that for 5 or 6 or 7 years?
Yeah, every once in a while you see a story like this where somebody just gets hooked.
Our bodies are amazing that they actually keep you alive in spite of the fact that you're starving them of so many nutrients.
Yes, with all the stuff that she's not getting.
Yeah.
It's amazing that she looks as good and is able to get up and, you know, walk around and do the things that she does. 15 years on Chicken McNuggets. So, Muggs, I want you to feel good about what you've been putting in your gullet.
Yeah. Makes me feel better.
Because you eat a piece of fruit once in a while, right?
Once in a while.
If he gets tricked into it. Let's tell you about today's all-new Kevin Abid Show.
Anyone who tells you otherwise doesn't know what they're talking about.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate that very much. I completely 100% just closed out what's on today's All New Kevin DeBeat Show. Hang on a sec. Let me just open this back up.
Okay.
First of all, the one thing I do know is that it's Friday, and that means Ralph will have the movie beat. Is the Drew Barrymore whale movie finally opening today? I feel like we've been teased with that forever. Please tell me it's finally here.
No, it's not. Dave just told me it's not.
What?
Yeah.
When is that thing going to open? They can't tease me with her putting on the wetsuit and going under and trying to dig out the whales under the ice forever.
I don't know, but I think I could wait for that.
Anyway, so Ralph will review whatever is coming out this weekend. Also, LaQuisha stops by to take a look at last night's all-new Jersey Shore episode. We've got a guy named Jerry Husky who is going to come on today and make 2012 predictions for us. I don't know very much about Mr. Husky or what kind of a track record he has or hasn't, but apparently he's got predictions. And I'm all for people. Look, I'll give anyone a chance if they say they've got predictions. I want to be able to prove you right or wrong. Just tell me what they are. We'll write them down. We'll see what happens. Lisa May, we're looking for burpers today, thanks to you.
Yes, I'm very proud of this. It's from Elf, and he does that really, 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 really long burp. And I was curious, Bean was curious, is that one burp? Can anybody burp that long? So I thought we should see if our listeners can do it.
It's a 12-second burp, and we do have some more information on how the burp was made for the movie. And it may be less Hollywood trickery than we know. There may have been an actual burper. So we're gonna find out from you how you can do it, because you know that's a party skill right there.
It's talent.
Yes, indeed.
Also got a brand new Bean's Death Corner on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
People do continue to die. Soon we'll have the Chicken McNugget Lady to add to that. Here's great news for you, Lisa May. I know you haven't been feeling at your best since you got back from Costa Rica.
I've been feeling off for sure.
You've definitely had some symptoms, yeah. And you heard something in Costa Rica that made you think, oh, maybe I have malaria.
Well, it's a very real possibility.
You'll be happy to know that Dr. Mo is going to be joining us on the program today.
Oh, he can help me. Excellent.
Yeah, but, well, you know, we only diagnose on the radio. None of us ever go to the doctor. We just have, you know, Dr. Drew, Dr. Mo, whoever we can get to diagnose us over the radio.
And the other thing is, Kat thinks she has cholera, so maybe he can help us with that too.
Wow. Wow.
We're going down.
What kind of pajama party are you girls involved in?
Can you stand outside, Lisa, please? Thanks.
And Kevin said he's out. He's got some sort of respiratory infection. Beer Mug's got some sort of black death. He won't stop coughing. I'm telling you, it's a miracle that this show's going on.
Yep.
And how about this? How about Tito Ortiz joining us on the show today? One of the all-time great fighters is going to be here with a personal appearance that he'll tell you about on the program as well. So that's a lot of show, and we'll get to it and get going with Ralph Showbiz Beat right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Yep, Red Hot Chili Peppers right there on K-Rock. Why not? Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday. It is 5:54. Ralph, I'm very excited to meet your new friend after the top of the hour today, guy who reads out of the paper.
News of the Globe. I'm saying, look, I know we have an iconic newsman here on our show with Doc on the Rock. I'm just saying it doesn't hurt to look at all the potential possibilities.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, just because you've won the Super Bowl doesn't mean you don't keep an eye on the draft next year.
That's
right. You got to keep your options open. Absolutely.
Well, you've got Peyton Manning, but you're still interested in Andrew Luck. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. Absolutely. So we will meet maybe the world's greatest newsman coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on?
Oh, sad news. Robert Hedges has died. He, of course, played the sweat hog Juan Epstein on Welcome Back, Kotter.
Well, he can't have been that old.
Just 60 years old, Lisa.
What happened?
Died Thursday of an apparent heart attack at his home in Metuchen, New Jersey.
Oh.
I've been to Metuchen, New Jersey an awful bunch. I have.
Spent a lot of time in Metuchen, New Jersey.
Why?
Yeah.
Really?
One of my best friends in college was from Metuchen. So during breaks, we would, they'd come to my place, or we'd go to see my buddy who lived in Washington, or the third of the Three Musketeers was in Metuchen. So we spent a lot of time in Metuchen.
Never even heard of it.
Yeah.
He's the first of the sweat hogs to go, right?
Okay. I have not been keeping close tabs on the sweat hogs.
Since they left Kotter. You know, that's one of my favorite shows of all time ever.
I know. I'm saying I haven't, and I don't, and I don't know. But I guess. How about Boom Boom Washington? Is he still alive?
He's still alive, yeah.
All right, then I guess he is. Yeah. Drew Carey has called it quits with his sort of wife. They're not really married. They've been together for 5 years. They have a kid together, but they are separating. Of course, as they tell People magazine, they still have a great deal of love and affection for one another. That's why people split up, you know, sometimes too much love
too
and affection.
Too much love, yeah. Smothering.
And Drew says he plans to be very involved with her son, Connor. Oh, maybe it's her son. Maybe they don't have one together. Anyway, they got engaged back in October of 2007.
Wow.
Engaged to be married. 2007, 2008. Yeah, it's a long time.
Long time.
Yeah. I wonder how long a woman would wait once she was engaged to be married. At what point in the 5 years does she say, you know what, this is kind of unacceptable.
Something.
If you like it,
right,
you should put
here.
A ring on it. You know?
Right.
That's what
she
should be saying. Remember when my wife moved in with me, I said, you know, do you want to move in together? I said, I've never lived with anybody before, but would you like to live together? And she said, yeah, but there's going to be a ring at the end of this trip. I'm not just moving in to play house.
Right. I like
so
it.
So I was like, well, I guess I've been put on notice. I better rethink this whole moving in thing.
That's more permanent than I thought.
Yeah. Moving in's supposed to be fun and easy. It's not supposed to be the first step.
There was a national conversation a few years ago. There was a book, and I don't remember which one it was, that basically told women, look, after 2 years, your guy should know whether he wants to marry you or not. If he doesn't marry you or propose to you at 2 years, get out and go find somebody who will. And I remember there was a lot of talk about whether that was reasonable or not, but there are people who do stay engaged for a lot longer than that.
Yeah, sure. Sure do. Demi Moore and her husband, Ashton Kutcher. See, this is what happens. You're supposed to do this because this is how everything works out just right. She apparently has made a very speedy recovery. She has already ditched rehab.
She's left
after 2 days. I guess she's not exhausted anymore.
Maybe it wasn't her idea.
Maybe she took a nap. I don't think it was, and I don't think she wants to be there.
Yeah.
And the New York Post also reports that Ashton Kutcher is not in great shape either. They say he's been acting like a teenage boy, doing ridiculous things. Well, sounds like Ashton. He was flirting up a storm during Fashion Week in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Can you imagine the models at Fashion Week in Sao Paulo, Brazil?
No, I can't. That's ridiculous.
Your eyes must just explode when you see them.
Because we know what the average Brazilian woman looks like.
Right.
And then we know what the models look like. And these are the supermodels that are going to the fashion shows.
More news about the notorious B.I.C., Blue Ivy Carter.
What's she up to now, that little minx?
Daughter of Jay-Z and Beyonce. Well, you know, she's already got her top 100 single on the charts.
Sure. Well, she's almost 3 weeks old, right?
Now she is hanging out with the with some of the biggest names in show business. Her godmother?
Yeah.
Any guesses?
Somebody really famous, I bet.
Oprah Winfrey is going to be her godmother.
Really? Of course it is.
How spoiled is this kid going to be? And speaking of spoiled, Katherine Heigl is a crazy dog lady. New York Post reports that she has seven dogs, takes one named Romeo everywhere she goes. She's got one of those little dog purses she carries the dog in. And Katherine admits she once warned her husband, Josh Kelly, that they are her family and she would get rid of him before she got rid of any of her four-legged friends. She just seems awful, this Katherine Heigl. She just seems awful. Yeah.
She's not endearing herself
on
to our hearts.
Every level, she just seems like a giant pain in the ass to everyone who runs across her.
Yeah. I heard the other day, Ralph, maybe you saw this, that she's doing interviews for some new movie.
One for the Money, the prequel to Two for
the
Money.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah. Oh, wow. Were you in the sequel? Or the prequel, I mean?
I wasn't in the prequel, no.
And she's talking about in every interview that she wants to go back to Grey's Anatomy, that she wants to wrap up her Izzy storyline at Grey's Anatomy. She's begging to go back to Grey's Anatomy, and they will not call her.
Good!
Which I think is hilarious to me.
Star, now she wants to come back? Screw that!
Apparently she does, and they are not calling her, which I just think is awesome.
Good for them.
Bitch got no class.
Word. Where's the outrage now? Beer mug,
where is the outrage now?
Oh, never mind. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor James Cromwell, how good is he? From Babe and you name it. Just all the kinds of stuff he's done. Great actor.
All the way up to the artist.
That's right, yeah. Mimi Rogers, 56 years old today. Actress Bridget Fonda's 48. Alan Cumming, who, if you're not watching The Good Wife, you're missing one of the best shows on television. And his role and performance on that week in and week out is spectacular. 47 years old today. Mike Patton, singer of Faith No More, is 44. Rapper Tricky celebrates his 44th birthday. Patton Oswalt, our good friend and one of the best comedians and now actors working today, 43 years old today. Rapper Lil Jon is 41. And on this day, I don't do a lot of birthdays from history, but on this day, back in 1756, was born Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart! Amadeus. Happy birthday, Wolfgang. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. We're the guys sending you to Australia.
Australia!
To see Incubus and also attend the Australian Open of Surf. Plus, you win a surfboard to qualify. That'll happen at 9 o'clock.
You win a surfboard to qualify.
Excuse me. That'll be coming up later on this morning around 9 o'clock or so. We'll put you on the standby boarding list. And I believe, I'm not very good with paperwork, but I believe that our friend Nicole is doing the grand prize drawing to send someone to Australia. That's going to be tonight right here on K-Rock. Ralph, introduce me to your new best friend, please.
I accidentally stumbled across this gentleman because I was prepping a story for the Hollywood Babylon show that I do with Kevin Smith up at City Walk on Saturdays. I was covering a story where Vivid Entertainment, Steve Hirsch, who's the owner president of Vivid Entertainment, had offered a woman in England $1 million for one porno movie because she was born with two vaginas.
Yay! I love her so much. She's twice as good as other women.
She is. She has twice to offer. Hazel Jones is her name, and she is a beautiful British girl. And she went on morning television there in England to talk about this condition, which is literally one in a million when it comes to this, when this happens, where two fully formed set of reproductive organs on a woman. And so I was looking for the interview, the morning show interview, to play, because we play video clips on the live show with Hollywood Babylon. So I was surfing through YouTube trying to find it, and I came across this gentleman who is in England and apparently thinks he is quite the newscaster. So what he does is he will take a story out of the newspaper and read it verbatim while posting a photograph of whoever he's talking about. It's the most... It's not very good use of video, let me tell you this much. It's more like radio. It's like radio with a picture. He puts just the picture of a still shot of whatever he's talking about, and then he reads the story from the newspaper out loud.
That is his comment on the story as he goes?
No, at the end sometimes he'll throw a comment in. Particularly in the Girl with Two Vaginas case, he was upset that they were talking about this during morning television. He was upset.
Was upset that she turned down the porn video.
He thought it was unsuitable for a morning audience. At least that's what I think he said. Because this is why I love this guy. And it goes by News of the Globe. And News of the World is a big newspaper, of course, in the UK. Rupert Murdoch famously had problems by bugging people's phones and everything to get stories from News of the World, the tabloid. He calls himself News of the Globe. And he is, I think, an early drinker. That's the only explanation I have for this gentleman. He's got a thick, thick British accent, which is bad enough. But then he is seemingly hammered every time he reads a news story. Now, keep in mind, I think he's the best thing ever, and I think we need to have him on our show. But that's just me. But okay. I wanted to bring him in so you guys could get a taste to see what you thought. Because I think it would be great to have, like, Arthur reading us the news every day. Because that's pretty much what it sounds like, if you can make out what he's saying. I brought in some clips from some of his videos. Again, you can go to YouTube. News of the Globe is, all one word, is his name that he posts.
We put it up at KROQ.com. There's a link to all these videos that you're talking about right on the website.
Let's start with the story I was talking about, the girl with the two vaginas.
This woman appeared on This Morning, and she has two fully formed vaginas. Hazel Jones, 27, expect the unusual effects of uterus flesh. You guys host Holly Willoughby and Philip Schofield.
What?
When a girl is born, her uterus starts with two tubes. Then expect your barrier should break down and one uterus forward. But referring to Hazel's body, Dr. Dawn Harper explained to Holly the two tubes have made two separate uteruses and two vaginas and two cervixes.
Right.
It's really convenient.
I heard cervix.
Yeah,
I got that.
Common child special thing. She just actually have two separate uteruses, as much rare, one in a million. Hazel, who's comfortable with it, used to say, as soon as I found out what I was a chocolate boy. I thought it was amazing.
What?
It's definitely an icebreaker at a party. If one would have to look, I can't assume it's nothing, something like, it's not something like a mammoth stuff.
Right.
So there's a lady on This Morning.
Right.
Hazel Jones, 27, talked about having two separate vaginas.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
Wait for it. Here we go.
And this is on daytime television.
Yes.
At around 10:30 to 12 in the morning.
Yeah. You don't think that was a good idea? You have a problem with that placement?
I mean, why would you put this on? Why would you do an interview on this sort of subject so early in the morning?
It's
just silly, really.
Yeah.
I'm sure Ofcom will get loads of complaints. You know?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll get loads of complaints.
That
was his story on the woman with two vaginas.
I love that he's at home at 10:30 in the morning watching telly, too,
right,
by the way.
And immediately fires up his laptop and slaps up a picture of Hazel Jones and then just gives us that story and commentary.
He's so
magical.
Awesome. He's magic, and you're absolutely right. He is Arthur.
Yes,
he's
Arthur reading the news.
Exactly, from the Russell Brand movie and before that, the Dudley Moore movie. And it's funny because one of the first YouTube comments on his News of the Globe on the woman with two vaginas is, what language is this?
He's indecipherable, except like Lisa said, every once in a while something will pop out like, icebreaker, parties. Like, what? How is that part of the story? Here's another story he covered. This is about a woman who left her girl, her 6-year-old, home alone for 5 whole days.
Oh, so
this
sad.
Has to be one of the cruelest women ever. A little girl had to live on Monster Munch and water.
Monster Munch?
I've been left home alone by a wicked mother for 5 days. Uh-huh. Scared 6-year-old Shanika Kerry was abandoned in a freezing scruffy.
Shanika was a banger freezer?
I don't even know. Captain, I was covered in cat.
A cat? She's a cat?
When her heartless mum, Natalie, was challenged by a cop, she told them, I have a glitch with my daughter.
All right. Your guess is as good as mine. I get no details from that story from News of the Globe.
I don't think he was pleased with the mom, though, but that's about all I made out.
How about there was a demonstration in the UK where someone was burning the flag, burning the British flag, the Union Jack. And this gentleman, as you can understand, was furious by that.
The Union Jack burns an Argentinian demonstration over the Falkland Islands.
Yeah.
It is exactly 20 years since the Falklands War.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And tensions are mounting in Argentina.
Argentina?
Relations between Britain and Argentina are getting frostier by the month. Demonstrators set fire to Union flags outside the British Embassy in Buenos Aires yesterday in protest over the Falkland Islands.
Nope,
didn't get 100 Argentinian militants shouted insults at PM David Cameron and waved banners saying England out of the Falklands.
Not a word of it. Not a word.
Oh my God.
Falklands. Who is his audience? Like, why do you think he sits down to record these all
because
the time,
Ralph? He has to bring the news to the people. Bean, there are no sources to get any news anymore. And so this guy has taken upon himself to give you old news via YouTube.
All he's doing is watching TV and telling us what he saw, though. That's why is he needed? His contribution here?
Look, he gives a unique slant, I think, on the news,
We think he does.
Which is the audience or people who enjoy their news indecipherable. People who want to say they've watched the news but don't really want to take in
really
any
want
of it.
Yeah.
I love him so much. Producer Dave, you must find him for us. We must talk to him.
One more quick clip. This is about a woman who worked at Woolworth's department store, and she was awarded in a lawsuit £67 million.
Wow.
A union has won £67 million of compensation for former employees at the high street chain Woolworths, well, former high street chain. Woolworths went into administration in late 2008.
Mm-hmm.
The shopkeepers union, Usgore, has said it has won compensation of up to £67 million for more than 24,000 former Woolworths workers.
Right.
More made redundant when the retailer collapsed.
What?
What
was that?
Usgore went to the employment tribunal.
No!
The ministers have failed to get
the money. What happened?
Before making redundant. Redundancy.
No one knows what you're
the
saying!
The tribunal has now awarded Usgore members 60 days' pay.
But 60?
The reward was the maximum payable in these circumstances.
Right, but
Usgore noted that as Woolworths was in administration at the time of the redundancies, responsibility for the compensation payments will rest with the taxpayer.
No. It's just... It's too frustrating.
But krock.com, kevinabean.com, either one, you can see these videos and share with your friends. He is awesome. He must be a permanent part of the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph.
Greatest
well done, sir. Well done.
Ever.
It's Friday, and it's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Wow, is this a mediocre movie weekend? I'll tell you, you're hard-pressed to find something you get really excited about, but here's what we got. One for the money. Katherine Heigl stars as Stephanie Plum.
I read the books, I'm in.
I'm sure you did, Lisa. A lot of chicks did.
The books are really good.
This is about an unemployed, newly divorced woman who lands a job at her cousin's bail bond business. See, she's like a real girly girl, but then she has to make a living, so she becomes the bounty hunter.
It's pretty funny.
See what happens?
A lot of women who can't find husbands have time to read these books, right, Ralph?
Bean.
Yes, I mean, that's what we're talking about,
yes,
here, right?
Because, gosh, once we get married, we're so busy serving you,
well,
we don't have time to
read.
Well,
if you do it right, that's how it works, yes. Katherine Heigl stars as Stephanie Plum, the lead character in this movie, and this is the first of what they're promising is many Stephanie Plum movies, because there have been many books written by the author about this character. Here, Katherine Heigl is breaking the news to her family about her new job.
Stephanie started a new job?
Yeah, I did. She's got a gun.
She's kidding.
Five.
Good for you.
Yeah, doing the bounty hunter thing. We're going after Joe Morelli.
Put the gun away, Ma. I don't know why I even tried.
Now look what you did!
She belongs in a home.
Frank!
Shut that sucker in the gumpy.
Oh, my God.
See, Grandma
really
shot the turkey with... Stephanie Plum's gun.
Grandma's really funny.
Oh, like, grandma's
she goes
so
to,
funny because she's
she
really.
She goes to memorial services for the snacks.
Yeah.
She's great.
Everything I need to know about that movie is in that guy's delivery of the line, she belongs in a home.
Hey, what's the problem with this old lady? Who gave her a gun to begin with?
Come on, Lisa. That sounds horrible.
I love the books. I'm a little scared of the movie.
You should be.
Yes. Also opening up this weekend, you've heard a lot about this because Glenn Close has been nominated a lot for a lot of different awards for her role in Albert Nobbs, where she plays another woman who can't get a job, just like Katherine Heigl's character. Only this time, this woman decides that she's going to pretend to be a man and become a butler. Why can't women just go work at like a supermarket or something? Why do they have to become bounty hunters and male butlers?
Well, in this day and age, I don't think she was able to do those other things.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, as a woman.
And if you look at Glenn Close, you know she wasn't good looking enough to get
a man.
She
wasn't going to get a good man.
That's right. So she became a male impersonator. Here's a scene where Albert Hobbs is telling a colleague that he/she wants to open a business.
I've been thinking I might purchase a little business.
Ah, a business. Fancy that. Oh, what kind of a business?
I'm thinking maybe tobacco.
Oh, well, yes. A tobacconist, now. That would suit a man.
But a woman could serve at the counter.
Yes, indeed, a woman could. You're not thinking of taking a wife, are you, Nobbs?
Who's the lucky lady?
Wait a minute, you're a woman! Boy, that seems like a long movie to me. Just from that clip. Just that clip up like about an hour of my time right there listening to that.
I think they should put that on the poster as a warning to other potential goers.
Yeah, this could be the longest movie of your life.
How about that, Lisa? You can go see that one too?
I really do want to see that one.
Lisa, okay. You are the new barometer. You are picking up for Kevin where it comes to like bad movie.
I saw a really long trailer and it actually looked good.
A really long trailer. It was about 30 seconds, but it felt really long.
Think how much time Lisa has to kill on Super Bowl Sunday when the rest of us are busy.
That's true. I have lots to do.
Man on a Ledge opens this weekend. A police psychologist has to work to talk down an ex-con played by Sam Worthington who's threatening to jump from a Manhattan hotel rooftop while the biggest diamond heist ever is in motion. He's the distraction. They're stealing the diamond. He was wrongly accused of a crime, and here's his chance to prove himself innocent. Elizabeth Banks, by the way, plays the police psychologist. That ain't so bad. And Ed Harris returns to films. Thank God. I haven't seen Ed Harris in a long time. He's a great, great actor.
Love him.
This has got some potential. Here's a scene where detectives find out the identity of the man on the ledge.
Marshal, I got an ID on your jumper. Escaped convict.
Nick Cassidy.
Cassidy. The cop that stole the diamond off David Englander?
$40 million diamond. I knew I recognized this mutt.
What the hell is going on?
Well, what did his little note say?
I will exit as I entered.
Innocent.
He wants people to think he didn't do it.
That's right. He has to prove his innocence while he's on a ledge. Not a great location for an action film, a ledge, but I'm guessing they make it work. Good cast.
This reminds me of that Colin Farrell movie years ago where he was at a phone booth for the entire movie and had to prove something.
I believe that was called Phone Booth.
Phone Booth, right. Yeah. And this one's called Man on a Ledge. Once we were at literal era in naming films.
If nothing else, they want you to know what you're in for.
Right.
And lastly, The Gray opens up this week. And Liam Neeson, Dermot Mulroney, James Badge Dale. In Alaska, an oil drilling team struggles to survive when their plane crash strands them in the wild. They are they're stranded in the snow. And then things get worse because they become hunted by a pack of wolves who see them as intruders. Uh-oh. Yeah,
singing wolves like in Twilight?
No, sadly, these wolves do not sing. They just eat you.
I see.
Here is Liam Neeson deciding how to take on this pack of wolves that are threatening their lives and that of his crew in The Gray.
What was that?
The Alpha. They went at him. He put it down. Whatever that challenge was, the Alpha put it down.
How are we going to deal with this?
We kill him. One at a time. Tip the numbers. That's what they're doing to us.
That's right. Kill them one at a time. Kill those wolves.
I will tell you that Liam Neeson is a great actor and generally picks pretty good movies to star in.
Yes. Generally?
Generally.
I think this looks interesting. At the least, it looks interesting. It looks like one of those bleak, desolate, man-against-nature films that keeps you on the edge of your seat. And it looks like there's a lot of snow in it. That's for sure. I think what they should have done was combine The Gray with One for the Money. called it One for the Gray, and had the wolves eat Katherine Heigl and her family. That would have been a movie I would have found enormously satisfying.
I like it.
And maybe Albert Nobbs, too. Eat him while you're at it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Ralph Garman movie beat.
One more spoon of cough syrup now. Whoa.
LaQuisha takes a look at last night's Jersey Shore. That's coming up next hour here on the world famous K-Rock. Thanks for tuning in on iFriday. You know, it's a happy day for me. Not just because it's Friday, because it's time for a brand new Beans Death Corner.
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Beans Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
I try to make death fun for everybody, including the kids, Lisa. No. I mean, I'm putting a big, big red bow on top of death and letting everybody enjoy it. That's what I'm all about.
We appreciate that, Bean.
And I got some great stories for you today. Here's one you don't see very often. Here's a man who fled Connecticut on a bus, and now we know why. When he was arrested in Florida on that Connecticut murder warrant, he apparently had hacked a man to death and then eaten one of his eyeballs and part of his brain. Now, you don't see this every day. 35-year-old Tyree Lincoln Smith was arrested Tuesday on that Connecticut warrant for murder. Apparently, he had been living in Connecticut and saw a presumably homeless guy sleeping outside in his neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So he went up to Angel Gonzalez and said, "Dude, it's cold out here. Why don't you come inside and get warm?" So at least he was a nice guy, right?
You think?
Until the man stepped inside and then he got beaten about the head and face with an axe. Apparently, the blows to his head were so severe that he was able to remove an eye from the victim's head along with pieces of the victim's brain. He then put them in a plastic bag and went to a nearby cemetery where he started eating the body parts at his brother's gravesite. I suspect there's some mental problems going on with our friend Mr. Smith here, don't you?
Based on the fact that he didn't cook the stuff first, yes.
Yeah, you just don't eat body parts raw. What's up with that? Come on, what are you, some sort of a savage or something? So he is in jail. Yeah, he fled town and left everything in the apartment. What was left of the dude's body was still in his apartment. Didn't attempt to cover any of that up. So he is in jail and probably will be for a long, long time. So, yeah, anytime, and imagine the bad news for the homeless dude when his family finds out, ooh, sorry, he died. Oh, wait, he didn't just die. He was hacked up. Oh, wait, he was eaten. I mean, that's bad all around, right?
Bad, bad, bad.
Here's a story that's sad in an entirely different way because the beautiful Arianne Patterson was just 21 years old. She was a religious studies major at Gardner Webb University in North Carolina. Lisa, it was her 21st birthday.
I hate these stories.
That morning, she posted on Twitter, "Thank you, God, for another year of life."
Aww.
Two hours later, she dropped dead in class. They are still investigating, doing an autopsy to find out if she had any other kind of previous health problems, but she was dead on arrival when the ambulance came. They did CPR, could not revive her, took her to the hospital. She was dead. 21 years old!
Must have been a heart defect or something.
Something weird was going on. And I don't know what the moral of this story is, but that God, he has a sense of humor, doesn't he? Although he probably gets so many tweets, I doubt he even saw hers. That just sounds like a weird coincidence. Here's another story. I wish it were uncommon, but we see these all the time. Another guy who loved smoking so much that he continued to do so even after his respiratory problems sent him home with an oxygen tank.
Yes. All right. Here we go.
This time happened in Chicago. Look, Andre Petrowski, I'm positive that when they checked you out of the hospital and sent you home with oxygen, they said two things to you. They said, one, don't have any fire around oxygen. And two, you can't smoke anymore. You're in bad shape, man. But he, of course, decided he had to smoke anyway. Thank God I never started smoking. By all accounts, it is the most powerful addiction in the world. Like, worse than heroin, right? Trying to quit smoking.
Yeah,
that's what people say.
It's terrible.
He started smoking, caught his bed on fire, apparently, and then himself. So that's how that ended.
It wasn't even just like a big old explosion, so yeah, didn't know what happened, but
apparently not.
Geez.
Here's a rare Beans Death Corner story where we don't know very much about the victim. We don't know her name, although we do know that she was almost 6 feet tall. We don't know what killed her, although we do know she was found 11 feet up in a tree in an East Sydney, Australia suburb. January 4th, neighbors outside in this neighborhood said, "What?
What? You guys smell something? They start looking around the neighborhood. Somebody says maybe it's a possum. Somebody says it's a cat. Clearly, there's something dead. Eventually, somebody looked up and they found a woman dead in a tree 11 feet off the ground. They can't figure out how she got there.
I wonder
or
if she
what
fell
killed her.
Into the tree somehow.
Like out of an airplane or something like that?
Something like that.
I don't know either, but this is just, it's one of the strangest stories to try to figure out. I mean, and how freaked out would you be if a dead body showed up in the tree next to your house? By the way, January in Australia, very hot, right in the middle of summer, so I'm sure that that was not a good smell.
It probably sure didn't take long. She'd only been there like 5 hours.
maybe she was a hippie and she was protesting deforestation and she just didn't want to come down and she died.
And then
maybe,
she died of heat. She got heat exhaustion, passed out and died.
Could be. Well, they estimate that she had been dead 4 to 5 days when the authorities were called. They're looking all over Sydney for her, though. They got posters up, putting it on TV. Long brown hair, black hair clip, plastic flower, no visible tattoos. Here's what she was wearing, but so far no luck. It's just it's so bizarre that she ended up in a tree because, I mean, I assume she died in a tree. Nobody kills somebody or whatever or finds a dead body and then climbs up into a tree to leave it there.
But the thing is, if you're in, I mean, there were neighbors right there. So she'd gotten stuck. She could have called for help and someone would have heard her, right?
Yeah, that's a great point. Unless she was somehow sleeping in the tree and died. I don't know. That's that is a mystery.
We demand follow-up, Bean.
And finally, just because I know Bean's Death Corner is not for everybody, and I know sometimes the stories are a little bit sad, I always like to leave you with a story that has at least a hint of hope, at least something happy to take you off into the week, okay?
Okay.
This is Chadil Deffy, who recently got married to Serena Kamsuk. Unfortunately, Serena was already dead. They had been dating for 10 years when she was tragically killed in an auto accident. But because they were not officially engaged, but because they had talked about getting married sometime, and the man felt terrible that he had never followed through to marry her while she was alive, he decided he was going to have a combination wedding and funeral for her. They put her in a wedding dress. They invited friends and family to come to the service.
Really?
She has got flowers. He put a ring on her dead body. They didn't exchange vows as much as he read vows, and she just laid there being all dead and whatnot. And then after the ceremony, they said a few words, took her outside and buried her.
That is the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
His best friend said that his wedding was the man's attempt, the groom's attempt to right a wrong, however belated the gesture might have been, because he would never forgive himself if he felt he had not done enough for his girlfriend of 10 years and had not married her, even though they had talked about it and she wanted to get married. He had been putting it off because he had been so busy with his career.
Oh my
the story
God.
Happened in Thailand. So yeah, combination wedding and funeral. I don't know that that is something that's going to catch on, but you don't see that every day. That's for sure.
No.
You can read more about all of these stories, see photos, and in some cases, videos. And, of course, we've got the archive of all the previous features, too. Just go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com and search for Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Hey, indeed. Foo Fighters coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Jimmy Eat World, Silver Sun Pickups, and yes, because you demanded it, the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on, dude?
What are the odds in the same hour we would play Foo Fighters and Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Well, it's a special day. It's Friday.
It is special day. It's Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart's birthday. That's why we're celebrating.
Yeah. He was a huge Foo Fighters fan. A lot of people don't realize that.
Huge influence on the Foos. This Saturday, I guess that'd be tomorrow, wouldn't it? Santa Anita Racetrack. In Arcadia, California. Come on down and hang out with some K-Rock personalities, play the ponies, and also enjoy 50 different food trucks. It is the Santa Anita Food Truck Festival. Happens tomorrow from noon to 4 at Santa Anita, which is on Huntington Drive in Arcadia. It's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow. Come out and play the ponies. There's 20 different kinds of microbrews that we have available, 50 different food trucks, including Grill 'Em All and the White Rabbit Truck. I wonder if Truck Norris will be down there. Grilled cheese truck's going to be there. Live music by the Shiny Toy Guns and a DJ set featuring Jeremy Dawson and Cara Faye in between the races. It's also the Ms. Sunshine Millions Bikini Pageant. What more could you want?
I wondered how they got you down there.
Actually, I won't be there, but Dave will be there. Psycho Mike's going to be there. DJ Omar Khan, Beer Mug, and Lightning will all be there. I won't be there, but if you'd like to see the other guys, go on down there and hang out. And it's only $5 to get in, so what more do you
want? Oh, horse manure.
Come on, go. It's fun. Lindsay Lohan back in the news. She's getting sued again.
Oh, again?
I'm almost starting to feel bad for her.
Me too. This girl can't catch a break. She's doing her community service lately. She's doing her therapy sessions. She's taking care of business. Then she walked inside the courtroom, I guess it was a week and a half ago, and a guy slapped her with a $300,000 lawsuit. He's a loon. He said that they were in business together. They were supposed to do some dot-com business, but she reneged on the deal, and he called her. She's actually, people don't know this, that she's a high-end prostitute. That's how she makes her money, and she's stealing from me, and I know things about Osama bin Laden, and I'm a former Marine. I mean, this guy was a whack job. Now there's another lawsuit that she got hit with. Nubia del Carmen Presa claims that on September 1st, 2010, approximately 4 p.m., Lindsay came bearing down in West Hollywood and hit her with her Maserati.
Well, that I believe.
Yeah, she's not a good driver. Presa claims to have suffered disabling and personal injuries, pain, suffering, anguish, blah, 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 blah. Wants Lohan to pay unspecified damages, but she's seeking general damages, medical and incidental expenses, compensation for loss and impairment of earnings, court costs, and interest.
Look, we talk a lot about how celebs have it easy in some ways. If they get in an auto accident, they are always sued for everything that's possible, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because the people who hit them or people who get involved in an accident with them or they get hit by them assume that they've got all the money in the world. Look, if Beer Mug had hit this lady, the woman would not be suing Beer Mug for all of this.
Interestingly enough, there's no police report that had been filed. So it's calling the incident into some question. But
yeah, that's a she said, she said incident, I guess.
You do become a target once you're a celebrity. Bad news. Rihanna.
Oh, I love her so much.
Really? Did you see the story this week?
Is this her new tattoos?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't love her quite
She's
as much
jumped
now.
The shark, this girl. She went to Los Angeles tattoo parlor this week and got the words Thug Life written on her knuckles.
Oh, man, really?
Well, she's so gangster, Ralph. Come on, look at her.
Thug Life on her knuckles. At least Tupac had it on his belly. On her knuckles.
Is
she
pink,
an
right?
MMA fighter?
In pink, too. It's a pink tattoo.
She has to be put down.
I don't know about that.
Where's Chris Brown? Get Chris Brown on the phone.
I got a job
for Chris. Thug Life. Shut up.
Yeah, she's hardly Thug Life, right? Hasn't she been a multimillionaire since she was 17 years old?
Yes, she hasn't had it so tough.
What's all these TMZ stories about how she and Chris Brown are mysteriously showing up at the same place at the same
time?
Yeah,
they've been hanging out.
Are they dating again?
Their rumor has it.
Oh, dude.
Rumor has it.
Okay.
And Madonna has taken on a new fashion accessory. Everywhere she goes, according to In Touch magazine, she's now wearing fingerless gloves.
I told you.
It's not my so fault. Cool. Everyone loves them. I'm like me and Madonna. We like to wear fingerless gloves. Experts say that because of all her exercising, the veins have now bulged in her hands.
Oh, she's trying to hide her hands.
And so she's trying to hide them by wearing fingerless gloves because she's embarrassed by how hideous her hands look.
I was also thinking she has no body fat. She's probably cold all the time.
Well, then you don't take the fingers off your gloves if you're cold.
That's
We've
true.
Had this conversation. It's the first. No, it keeps them warm. You just don't even know. Maybe that's why Dave wears fingerless gloves, because he's embarrassed by the bulging veins in his hands from all the exercise
that could
he does.
Because he's too buff?
He's too buff.
Is the point, I don't know anything about fingerless gloves except they're stupid and I hate them, but is the point of fingerless gloves so that your fingers are available to text? Is that why you don't want to wear gloves with fingers?
Text another thing. I guess anything you use your fingers for in terms of dexterity, you've got it available, so it's not clumsy like when you wear regular gloves. But I think in terms of warmth, that's not a very effective way to keep your hands warm.
Not at all.
No one's ever said, geez, my fingers are so nice and toasty, but my palms are freezing. I've never heard anyone say that on the slopes. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor James Cromwell, 72 years old today. Actress Mimi Rogers, formerly Mrs. Tom Cruise, but a fine actor in her own right. She's 56. Bridget Fonda's 48. Alan Cumming of The Good Wife and X-Men and all kinds of films. 47. He was in Spice World, too. He was in the Spice Girl movie.
Yes, he was.
47 years old. Singer Mike Patton of Faith No More is 44. Tricky, the rapper, is 44 years old. Our good friend and one of the funniest comedians on the planet, Patton Oswalt, is 43 years old today. I think he got angry at me once because I introduced him that way at one of our April Foolishness comedy shows.
Oh, really?
He got very upset because he's like, you can't put that kind of pressure on me when I got on stage. You can't say I'm one of the funniest people on the planet. He was kidding, of course, but he is. So
he absolutely
it all worked out. Lil Jon.
Yeah!
41 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Lisa? Jeez, come on. Lisa, we're on the air.
Did you hear that?
Next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, Lisa has requested it. We're going to be looking for you if you can do that. That seems exceptional. That seems like movie-making magic from the film Elf with Will Ferrell, right?
I am not generally down with the burps, but that is amazing.
It is very impressive, yes. Right? I mean, most people, they're snooky burping. That's about it. That's all. That's the best they could do. Yeah. So next hour, we want to hear from you right here on the Kevin and Bean Show about 60 minutes from right now. First up, I have a crisis going on in my home. I need some help. I need some advice. I reached out to my Twitter followers yesterday, and I got some advice back, but I think I need to hear from you people before I know how to proceed. Donna was at some supermarket down in the International District 2 days ago, mm-hmm. and went into a supermarket and decided to buy some fresh fish. So, hey, I'm going to get some fresh fish for dinner. And while she was there, she saw they had lobsters in the tank. And she said, wow, lobster. We haven't had lobster in a million years. I'm going to get me some lobster. And the only way you could buy them at this supermarket was to buy live lobsters, which we've never cooked before. We don't have lobster very often. We've never had live lobster before. So she brought them home. She put them in the fridge. And yesterday, that was Thursday or Wednesday. So yesterday she took them out of the fridge and got ready to cook them.
Are they still alive?
They're still alive.
Oh, wow.
Well, okay. They're so cute, first of all. Who knew how cute they were? And second of all, then you're faced with, and how many times have you heard people say, hey, if people had to kill their own food, they wouldn't eat most of what they eat.
Yes.
Then you're faced with, you're the bad man who kills the lobsters. And we couldn't do it.
There's a scene in Julia where she has to put the live lobster in the pot, and she is dreading mm-hmm. it and dreading it. And I covered my eyes. I couldn't watch it. I couldn't believe she actually did it, because I could never in a million years do that.
Do you ever eat lobster?
No.
Really? For that reason?
Yes.
How about other fish?
Well, they're not thrown into a boiling pot of water.
Yeah, but they gasp and die to death.
I don't eat a lot of fish.
Asphyxiate from not being able to breathe, right?
I don't eat a lot of fish, but I mean, look, it's more because I'm just not a big fish eater.
Right. It is. It's
yeah,
one of those
you're
things.
Right. It's.
I mean, look, everybody draws the line in a different place as to what they're willing to eat and what they're willing to kill. And I eat, plenty of fish. I also eat chickens. I also eat turkeys. I don't eat any cows or any pigs or anything like that.
Yeah.
But that's because of my personal experience, because of all the years that I've owned them. I just can't. I mean, if I eat a cow at this point, it would be like eating a pet. But I hadn't come face to face with a lobster before. So Donna takes them out of the wrapper, out of the fridge, and puts them in the sink. And they're moving around and stuff. And of course, you know, they wrap their claws so that they can't hurt you. They can't, claw you or anything like that. But they crawl into a big pile on top of each other, and their little antennas are all wiggling around, and they're looking up at you. And it's like, now what?
No, I back you 100%. I couldn't do it.
So we couldn't do it. So I called a friend of mine, and I'm like, and he does a lot of fishing. Yeah. And I said, well, you know, what's the story on this? I mean, is this instant death, or is this painful? Because, you know, I couldn't imagine boiling a pot of water and then dropping my new pets into this water. Right. And he says, boiling water. Drop the lobster in, instant death.
How does he know for sure?
Well, that's another reason why that was kind of the answer I wanted to hear, because that would allow me to move forward. But on the other hand, I thought, how does he know? I mean, we'd like, of course, maybe we're just telling ourselves that it's instant death.
Yeah, they have shells and stuff.
But then I thought, now you're being scalded to death. That can't be any good, unless it's one of those deals where it's just like some super shock to your system and it just knocks you out like instantly as soon as you hit the water if you go in, you know, face first.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was very uncomfortable with it.
I've also heard put them in the freezer and they slowly, like, they just go numb and they don't even know.
We'll see.
But I don't think you're supposed to. I think lobster is supposed to be cooked from live to boom, dead.
Right.
Or it doesn't taste right.
Beer Mug, you were very angry that we weren't able to pull the trigger on our lobsters. How come?
First of all, lobsters, not cute. Not cute.
Are you kidding me? They're adorable.
Looked at you.
They're adorable.
They have alien antennas, weird tails, and ugly claws. Second of all,
delicious. It's, doesn't matter to me. It is instant death when you put them in. And they
How do you know? Lisa asked, how do you know?
Because they're not used to that temperature water. I mean, you're boiling. Water's at boiling point.
Well, you put me in. I'm not used to it either, but I'm not dying instantly.
No, you're dying a very painful, maybe a quick death, but a very painful last couple of minutes on Earth, though.
I think they seize up and it's done. It's instant.
I don't
know.
Look, I mean, you could absolutely be right. You may be way more knowledgeable on this topic than I am. I doubt it because that would be a first. But I'd like to hear from our listeners at 1-800-520-1067. If you've been in this situation before, if you've been the guy who has to drop the lobsters into the boiling water, what do you know about it? And the other two options that give us a call. 1-800-520-1067. Tell us what you know about how that whole deal works. The other two options that I have at this point, now that I have live lobsters living in my house, are A, is it time to build a tank and name them? Do I now have Pinchy and Clawy as my new pets? And B, and I was serious about this, why can't I walk 200 feet from my house and throw them back in the water? I live in the Puget Sound, which the temperature and the salinization of the water here in the Puget Sound can't be crazy different than where they came from, which was Maine, right? Maine lobsters. Doesn't it seem like it would be kind of cold salt water, very, very similar?
But look, there are no lobsters there now, there aren't any, right?
Right, there aren't. We don't have lobsters, right.
Imagine if Bean did that.
That seems like a bad idea.
Imagine if Bean did that and he started a lobster infestation in Seattle.
And it started a new industry or destroyed everything that's there. One or the other.
So when I suggested that was one of the options was throwing him into the sound, just letting him go, going, hey, I saved these two. I'm going to let him go. People were going crazy on my Twitter yesterday saying, A, you can't do that because you don't know what you're going to be introducing into the wild. Like, you don't know what kind of viruses they may have or disease they may have or something like that. That's the first thing they were saying is it could be that you could get in a lot of trouble, for instance, for doing that because you're screwing with a natural ecosystem. And B, they were saying, and I don't really fully understand this because to me, cold salt water is cold salt water, whether you're on the East Coast or the West Coast. B, they were saying they wouldn't survive anyway. They would die anyway. They would die more painfully and more slowly than they would die if I just dropped them into the bucket, on my stove.
They may not have stuff to eat there.
Exactly. See, I don't know enough about this. I am clearly way out of my depth on this. All I know is they looked up to me with those cute little faces, and I could almost just picture
You've had weird pets before. You've had a tarantula.
Tarantulas and hedgehogs. Yeah, I know.
You could have lobsters.
Maybe I could have lobsters. I don't know. But they are so darn delicious. Beer Mug is right about that. But am I willing to kill my own food? I really feel like I need more information. By the way, in case you're wondering, put them back in the fridge. Had Cheerios last night for dinner instead, which is not the lobster that I'd been looking forward to all day. But they could be on the menu for tonight, depending on what you guys tell me. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's coming up right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Going right to your calls here in a moment at 1-800-520-1067.
Not right to the calls because I got something to say.
Well, for folks who are just joining us, we bought lobsters. They were live, and then we couldn't pull the trigger. Couldn't drop them in the water. Couldn't kill them to eat them. So they went back into the fridge, and now I don't know what to do. Do I release them into the wild?
No!
Do I make them pets?
No!
They're hard
not to pets. You know what they are? They're bugs. They're underwater bugs. That's
what
they are.
It's hard to kill your own food when they look at you with those eyes, Ralph.
First of all, they're ugly as sin. They're like aliens, these creatures.
Well, that's
not their hideous.
Fault.
But they're not cute. I'm tired of hearing in the other room, oh, but they're so cute.
So cute.
They're not cute. They're hideous.
But
and
Ralph,
here's the thing. They're bugs. They're simple-minded bugs. They don't have nervous systems like us. They don't have fear or pain or whatever.
Know any of that?
Because it's science.
How do you know?
Because scientists have proven this. You drop in the hot water, it's a shock to the nervous system. Boom, it's all over. And by the way, what sort of simpleton goes to the supermarket, looks at a live creature and says, oh, I'm going to take this home and eat it. And they get someone goes, oh, wait a minute. I don't know if I can do this. It's that decision you have in your head before you purchase the lobsters.
One that's married to me is the kind of simpleton that does that. But she's the one who bought it. And then she's the one who is going to prepare it. But then she came, she came upstairs. I was upstairs and she came upstairs. She said, I can't do it. They're so cute. And then I went down and I kind of had to agree with her. And then we couldn't really put them in the water and kill them.
Should release the lobsters into the wild. And you and your wife should jump into a pot of boiling water.
Someone had me just watch a YouTube video of people putting them in hot water, and they did not die instantly. They were still moving.
No, but the shock to their nervous system, they don't feel anything. They go out the minute they hit that water.
Hmm.
And the rest is just reflex movement. It's not even conscious movement.
I don't know.
Daryl writes, Lisa, eat the lobsters.
Daryl writes in, hey, don't you need a haircut in Maine right now? Box up Pinchy and Cloy, hop on a flight, let them back out into the wild and kill two birds with one stone. Well, don't actually kill any birds. And then Andy writes, hey, when life gives you dilemmas, make dilemonade. So I don't know what to do with that information, but let's talk to Cody. Cody agrees with you, Ralph, that the lobsters don't feel it when you drop them in the boiling water. I don't know how they can't. It's freaking boiling water. Cody, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going? Hi, Lisa May.
Hi.
Yeah, totally. These lobsters, like, they're just basic creatures, you know? They don't have a nervous system like we do. They don't feel pain when you put them in the water.
Right. How do you know that?
I took college biology, marine biology classes.
Yeah, okay. Biology 101, Bean. Turns out scientists have studied this kind of crap over the years, Bean. They've done some experiments, you douche.
I didn't make it to biology 101. I dropped out fairly early in my college career, Ralph. You know that. All right, so you're saying it doesn't hurt them and it kills them instantly, or at least they don't feel it after the first couple of seconds, and everything else, like Ralph said, is just reflex.
They don't even know they're in boiling water. They just think that, hey, I'm back in water, and then like a few minutes later, they're dead.
Yeah. They don't process it. They don't process the information like we do, Bean.
I hope you're right.
Ralph is completely correct. They are actually the closest relative to the cockroach that lives in the ocean.
Yes, they're water roaches. So next time you step on a roach, I don't know if I can do it.
I don't do that either.
Oh, I hate everyone in this room.
Thank you for the call, Cody. College man calling up, making me look bad. Hey, Beer Mug, what were you saying? Because a lot of people are saying
stupid intellectuals
with facts. Hey, Kevin's not here today. Somebody has to be against facts, okay? That's my job. Beer Mug, what were you saying for people who were calling in and saying, what about when they scream? What did you hear about that?
That is the air inside their shell escaping.
Escaping, right. It's like letting the air out of a balloon.
Yeah.
But, you know, we didn't always know how intelligent, like, porpoises and dolphins and whales were. Like, we're still learning to this day how truly intelligent they are. It could be that we just don't know.
Okay, when a lobster can jump out of a tank at SeaWorld, balance a ball in its nose, then I will not drop a lobster in the tank anymore.
I'm just saying it may feel more than we know.
Oh, for God's sake.
Let's talk to give me Eric.
The grass screams when you mow it too, Lisa. Oh,
give me Eric
it.
on line 5. Yeah, Eric. Eric,
hey,
is,
what's up, guys? What's up,
what's up?
Eric is my brother. He's got sympathy for my situation. What's going on, dude?
Okay, dude, I have a friend on the East Coast. I was telling him how much I love lobster. He said, I'm going to send you some Maine lobster. So, like, 5 days later in the mail, I get this huge package. I'm thinking the guy sent me frozen lobster tails. Lo and behold, there are two live Maine lobsters in this box, okay? Uh-huh. I did not have the balls to put these in the water the first day. They literally sat in my refrigerator in this huge aluminum bowl for, like, 4 days.
Ugh.
Alive, like, crawling around in there before I finally got enough gumption to throw them in the water. When I did, I'll tell you, I threw them in there. There was no screaming. There was no crawling around. About, 10 minutes later, they were bright red. I pulled them out, and I had the best lobster dinner of my life.
Testify, Eric. Testify.
and have you been able to sleep ever since, or does it haunt you what you did to them?
No problems, and I actually took pictures of it.
Good man.
Okay. All right.
I got to tell you one warning, though. Do not cut those rubber bands off their claws.
Why?
Because if you cut those rubber bands off their claws, they're going to snap at you, and if they get you, man, it hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's common sense, I think.
Yeah.
Don't let the creature with giant pinchers near your hands.
That's right.
Even Bean knows that much.
All right. Eric, thank you very much for the call. So he was brave enough. So you guys think I should just go for it then? Don't be so flimsy.
Stop being so soft.
Well, I don't know what else.
What about letting them go? What about putting them back in the cell?
Let me tell you a little secret. You are torturing them and making them suffer more by leaving them out of water, wrapped in plastic in a refrigerator for 5 days than you are dumping them in boiling water.
And you can't put them in the sound because that's not their natural habitat.
It's salty, cold water, though. What's wrong with that?
You don't know if they have the nutrients in there that they need. They
probably
need the ocean.
Why is making dinner such a dilemma? Why does everything have to be so difficult?
Why are you treating your lobster like a prisoner of war and keeping it locked up in a refrigerator for days on end?
All right. We're going to have to leave it there. I'll let you know what happens with Pinchy and Cloy.
Kill the lobster!
We'll take a break. We got LaQuisha talking about last night's Jersey Shore right after this. Gautier featuring his little friend Kimbra, somebody that I used to know in the world-famous Kirok. At 7:42, we've got a guy making psychic predictions coming up in about 20 minutes named Jerry Husky. Also, Tito Ortiz on the program later on today. Right now, hi, LaQuisha.
Oh.
Girlfriend, really? What's going on?
This show's going to be the death of me.
Well, you didn't get the Jersey Shore break that you usually get a few months in between seasons. They put them pretty much back-to-back this time, right?
That's right. This is just Jersey Shore on top of Jersey Shore from Italy, now back down in Jersey. And if you remember last week's episode, Vinny left the house and left everyone very sad because he left the house. And then Mike, the situation, he got depressed because people weren't celebrating his birthday enough. And he left the house, and they're dropping like flies over there. It's unbelievable. But last night, situation come back to the house, and everyone said, well, where'd you go? What happened? It turned out he walked away from the house hoping that people would chase after him and ask him if he was okay and wish him a happy birthday. What a sad, pathetic little man.
I'm very sensitive. Usually every year on my birthday, I kind of isolate myself to see if somebody will make that extra attempt to say happy birthday. I don't know if you guys know anything about, like, cancers, but they're just very sensitive people.
Yes, he's a cancer, so he's very sensitive.
Okay.
Why don't you drop him in a boiling pot of water when you get a chance, Bean?
Love to. I would have no reservations whatsoever about that.
What the situation doesn't know is that the girls are planning a surprise birthday party for him and Paulie because they have birthdays at the same time. And they're going to get them strippers and everything at this party. So in order to get strippers, they got to find a guy who provides strippers for parties. And so they talked to a gentleman named the Wizard of Ass.
Of course they did.
That's his name, the Wizard of Ass. And he's asking the girls what kind of stripper action they want at the party.
We're going to have Mike and Polly sit in the wheelchairs, and then they're going to get handcuffed.
You want to handcuff them to the wheelchairs?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you want them to smack them with the belt, pull their pants down?
No pulling pants down. Dude, you're not directing porn.
Who thought the Jersey Shore people would show some restraint and decorum at a party with alcohol?
That is shocking.
Well, Snooki goes shopping for party favors, and she goes to this store and finds out that they sell giant bunny costumes there. And, of course, when she sees that, she realizes she needs to buy a giant bunny costume with one of those big mascot heads you put all over your hair.
You like the house needs something crazy going on. So we need a freaking bunny suit to bring life to this house. That's when you know we have problems.
Now, look, that's stupid as hell, buying a giant bunny suit. But then I realized that giant mascot head goes over her head, and she never looked better than she does with that face covered.
Good point.
Now, the party goes off without a hitch. Everybody's surprised, and the strippers are dancing. And I got to tell you, if I was a man, if I was one of you fellas watching this show, I'd be so damn angry. Because situation sitting there, pretty blonde stripper all over him, and, well, things heat up from there.
I'm definitely having fun with this blonde stripper right now. Oh, so much fun, I might even take her home.
And he does. He takes the stripper home from the party.
No kidding. Wow.
There is no... The power of television and fame is just endless on women. Women just love famous. That's all.
Sure do.
Now, the next night, of course, they're still celebrating, so they got to go out to one of them nightclubs they love so much. And they all go out as a group, but Sammy suddenly disappears, and Paulie knows why.
So we go downstairs, it's like mad dark, but like 10 seconds into the club where the crowd was, bang, I see like these two girls rolling around on the ground. I'm like, oh, chick fight. Then I look over, I'm like, holy, it's Sam.
Sammy gets into a girl fight with another girl. And no one really saw it happen or saw it coming on, nothing. Just happened out of the blue.
Wow.
But we find out afterwards what happened is some girl grabbed her weave. And you don't do that to a woman.
No, that's
didn't know white women had this problem, too. But I know my sisters, if you grab my weave out there in the nightclub, you will get hurt.
You don't yank my newly weave that I just got. I was always taught to, like, self-defend myself. I will take down the world if I feel like somebody touched me the wrong way.
Girls should learn how to self-defend themselves, I've always said.
She's self-defending herself, though, not anybody else, right?
No, when you self-defend, it's really the best policy is to defend yourself when you are self-defending.
Look, I don't know anything about girls, LaQuisha, but I know that grabbing another woman's weave is a declaration of war. I mean,
that's
nuclear option right there.
Hell yeah. Damn weaves cost money, and it's a long time to sit in that chair having put in. I know. I do it all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they get back to the house, and they realize things just ain't the same without Vinny. After all, he's been gone for almost half an episode. So they got to do something. What are they going to do to get their boy Vinny back? And Paulie has an idea.
Forget this. Let's go get Vinny. No. I can't take it anymore. Let's go to his house.
He wasn't coming by today. Let's go get him.
Let's go get him.
I said we get
come
him.
Here.
I'm making everybody up.
Come here.
Really?
I was going to his house to get the little bastard. Everybody.
Yo! Get him, bitches!
Oh, I'm going to go get Vinny.
Yeah! They all get into two Escalades, and they drive their asses to Staten Island to get Vinny and bring him back to the Shaw house.
Okay.
And when they get there, they find Vinny's a changed man. He's had some time to reflect on his life, to deal with his depression, and more importantly, he got a giant tattoo on his chest that reads, "Let go, let God." You know that saying?
Oh, I don't. No, really? What's that mean?
It's mostly used by the addiction community, which means let go of control of your life and let God take control of your life.
Right.
Let go, let God. And he announces to them, before he goes back to the house, he needs to show them his new declaration on his chest, his giant tattoo. And nothing funnier than watching seven stupid Italian people try to read four words and not understand what the hell it is.
You want to see it? Yeah. Don't freak out. It's pretty
Liar.
Extreme.
All right. Where is it? Show.
Oh, my God!
What it?
Like... Go let God.
I have no idea what Vinny's tattoo means. It looks cool. No idea what it means.
It was like trying to watch people figure out the puzzle on Wheel of Fortune with all the letters in it. All the letters are there, but it's still like, I don't know what that means. I don't know. But Vinny does get into the car with them, and they're bringing Vinny back home to the house. Because he said he thinks he's ready to continue his recovery at the Jersey Shore house. He can continue his long road of recovery. To which I say, you don't have polio. You just got over drunk and tired, and you went home and slept, and now you're going back. So after almost a whole episode, Vinny returns next week to the Jersey Shore.
Thank God.
Thank God, indeed. Just small miracles.
I was disappointed that the president didn't bring that up in the State of the Union this week, that how's the world going to go on without Vinny in the Jersey Shore house? But thank God that one is solved.
Let go, let God, I say. And God has delivered us Vinny back to the Jersey Shore.
So, LaQuisha, another episode next week, right?
I'm guessing, unless God takes me out, I'm going to let go and let God. And hopefully he'll strike me down before next week's episode.
Talk to you then. Have a good weekend. Thank you, dear.
Now.
From PsychicFitness.com, Jerry Hosky is in the next room, Ralph. He's going to be joining us after the top of the hour. You know, are you there, Ralph?
Yes, I'm right here.
Yes. I don't have much time for Psychic, as you know. But I will tell you that Jerry, in November, said publicly the Packers were not even going to be in the Super Bowl. At the time, they were undefeated and the current Super Bowl champs and were beating everybody by like 30, if you recall. I don't know, man. Maybe he's onto something. We're going to find out what he's got in store for us in 2012, coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, time for the showbiz beef.
So often I talk about movies that are obviously going to suck. You can tell when they announce them that they're going to suck. You can see from far away distance, from miles away, you can see this movie's going to suck. I give so much attention to that. I feel often I neglect movies that I'm actually looking forward to or sound great. So I wanted to bring this up because it was in the news this week. Kate Winslet has just signed on to star in a new film, along with Catherine Keener.
Wow.
And it is written and directed by Charlie Kaufman. And if you know Charlie Kaufman's work at all, he gave us Spotless Mind.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
That and Being John Malkovich. And just a super creative adaptation he wrote and directed. Yeah. Super creative, smart guy who makes interesting, different, funny, touching films. Like really a great, great talent. This movie sounds awesome. It's called Frank or Francis. And it's going to star Steve Carell, Jack Black, Nicolas Cage, Kevin Kline, as well as Kate Winslet and Catherine Keener.
Wow.
Steve Carell will play a prolific actor-director who gets furious enough at a constant web blogger, played by Jack Black, who constantly attacks his work, that he tries to hunt him down and confront him. Cage is going to play a washed-up actor hosting the Academy Awards. And Kevin Kline is going to play an inventor who creates a mechanical head that's designed to create the perfect movie script and will play the mechanical head itself.
This movie has everything.
That's all you need to know. Just that concept with those actors and that twisted take on show business. I can tell you right now, this movie's going to be wildly entertaining. People take a chance with films, I always find fascinating. I'd rather you try to do something different and interesting and fail than to, put Katherine Heigl in a
bounty hunter outfit.
New pilots are being announced every day by the networks talking about what they're going to put on the air in the fall. This new TV show sounds fascinating. It's called Queen, It's about an edgy punk rock tattooed girl who uses her computer hacker skills to help a detective solve crimes.
Wait,
thank
Ralph,
God, there's some fresh ideas on television. I'm glad someone has the audacity to put a bold new take on crime dramas by creating this unlikely duo of an edgy punk rock tattooed girl and a detective.
Does it say whether or not she also has a dragon tattoo?
Wait a minute. CBS also announces a legal drama about a former public defender named Applebaum who avoids the stay-at-home mom blues by becoming a private investigator.
Well, of course she does.
Oh, come on. Can Katherine Heigl play her? It's killing me. It's killing me. Did Omar send any audio in for you? I'm glad he did because this has got me super excited. The Super Bowl, of course, coming on not this weekend but the next. And everyone's talking about the commercials that are going to be airing during it. Including one we featured here called The Bark Side, which is the new Volkswagen commercial with a chorus of dogs barking out the Imperial March theme from Star Wars.
Yes.
Awesome, awesome commercial. Now they're teasing us with one that I can't wait to see what it's about. They won't tell us what it's for. They won't show much of it to us. It's just 10 seconds. But what it is, and I'm surprised he agreed to do this, it's Matthew Broderick reprising his role as Ferris Bueller.
Oh,
wow.
No kidding.
From the mid-80s, right?
Ferris Bueller, one of my favorite films. Of course, was about him taking the day off of high school and spending the time with his friends and his girlfriend and the adventure they have just in one day, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And he starts the film by opening up the curtains and saying, I just can't imagine going to school on a day like this because it's so beautiful out, right? So apparently he's reprising his role and Ferris is all grown up and he's going to be starring in this commercial during the Super Bowl for something. And this tease just makes me want to see Ferris Bueller too.
How can I handle work on a day like today?
That's all they give us.
That.
That's
nice.
All they give us. But it's just the opening of the film. But now he's a grown man. I said, what a clever idea would be to go back and do Ferris Bueller again, showing him grown up and how he handles the responsibility of a job and a family and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, what a great movie it was. Great John Hughes. Remember directing? Remember Charlie Sheen was so funny in his cameo in that movie.
Jennifer Grey is his sister.
Jennifer Grey. Yeah, just great film.
What was the name of the actor who played the principal?
Yeah,
Jeffrey Jones. Jeffrey Jones.
Go.
So great.
There you go.
Yeah, Rooney. Well, I should say you do. Owe me an apology, Rooney. Today's celebrity birthdays. James Cromwell, 72 years old today. Actress Mimi Rogers is 56. Bridget Fonda celebrates her 48th birthday today. Alan Cumming from The Good Wife and X-Men is 47 years old. Singer Mike Patton from Faith No More is 44. Tricky celebrates his 44th birthday. Lil Jon is 41.
Yeah,
Lil Jon.
I'm going to rent a wheel today, just in honor of Little John.
You should. Get yourself some fat rims.
Yep.
And one of our favorite people on the planet, let alone comedians, also a very talented actor recently in Young Adult. He got screwed by the Academy. Didn't get a nomination for Best Supporting Actor.
Where's the outrage there?
Where is the outrage? Our friend Patton Oswalt celebrates his 43rd birthday today. Much love to you, Patton. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Silver Sun Pickups of the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ, your last chance to qualify on the Kevin and Bean Show for the trip to Australia to see Incubus coming up in less than an hour. Right now, though, ladies and gentlemen, Psychic on the Bridge. Jerry Hosky joins us here in studio from PsychicFitness.com. Hey, Jerry, how are you?
Hi, Bean. Nice to see you.
Now, nice to see you, too.
I actually don't see
you. Nice to hear you. Ralph, you brought Mr. Hosky to our attention. How'd you find and fall so deeply in love with him?
Yeah, you know, we get pitches here at the show all the time where someone will send us a press release or a request to have someone on the show. And they pitched us Jerry, saying that he was a psychic and also a fitness expert. I said, that's an interesting combination.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of that. Usually psychics are big, fat, crap-filled fools. But Jerry's a guy who's in great shape. He deals with the physical as well as the spiritual side. And also they showed us a clip of Jerry making some predictions. I said, well, that guy's pretty good. Maybe we'll have him on and see what he's made of. So Jerry, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ralph.
We love psychics. Look, everybody wants the upper hand. Everybody wants the in. You know, everybody wants the extra advantage, and that's what we're looking for. Now, I'm going to be honest when I tell you that we've not met many psychics who have impressed us, but I was going through your Twitter feed this morning ahead of you coming on, and I was impressed that you in November said the Packers would not even be in the Super Bowl when at the time they were beating everybody. They were still undefeated. They were beating everybody by a lot, and they were the current Super Bowl champs who had only gotten better this season. How'd you arrive at that prediction that you made?
It was just a sense. You know, it's funny because sports aren't totally my thing. You know, I was on the radio station at the beginning of the year and predicted the Chargers weren't going to do anything. And
Well, I did too. I mean, anyone could see that coming.
Philip Rivers said that
prediction. Charger Station, I thought, didn't like that prediction.
I bet.
And I just sensed that was the case for the pack.
How do you get your predictions? How does it come to you? What's the process like?
You know, it's kind of like I have blue eyes, and it's like, what's it like to have blue eyes? You don't know anything different. For me, it's like all about God and all about, like, it's almost like a faucet opens, and I'm not attached to what I'm saying, and it just comes through. It's not like I see Injun Joe in the corner or something like that. Or,
right, right.
You know, some of these, you know, bless any other psychic. Some are like kooky a little
bit,
you know.
Yeah, they sure
are. Nothing against them, but, you know, the proof's in the pudding.
So you don't talk to dead people or anything like that?
I actually can do that, but I don't like, you know, I don't go as like an MNOP. You know, how they say, like,
I'm getting an R. Do you have any R's in your life? An R?
S-T-T-A-M-N?
Yeah, right.
Jerry, do you have any sense as to why you are chosen to receive this information? You mentioned God. There seems to be a spiritual aspect to your predictions. Why you?
I don't know is a short answer, but, you know, I mean, from a little tadpole, I thought I was supposed to be about kind of like help.
Easy there. We're on the air.
I mean, I know that it's crap. I know that numerology is
well,
crap.
Well, if you buy any of it, and I guess you don't. But in a lot of – I'm a nine in numerology. You had your birth dates together. And a lot of nines are known as selfish humanitarians. Like, you know, Gandhi's a nine. Yogananda's a nine. A lot of nines are like servers and helpers. And I'm a nine, and I think that fits for me. I think I'm supposed to help.
You had this is the voice of a Jerry Hosky here on the Kevin Abid Show. He's the guy who just swore on the radio.
And you did it.
His website is psychicfitness.com. Now, I noticed that you have phone reading rates where people can call you and you charge them and you talk to them on the phone for a certain amount of time. Now, how does that work? What kinds of things, like if you had a random person on the phone with you right now, what kinds of things would you feel from that person? What kinds of predictions would you make? I mean, do you say, hey, you're going to get this job, or hey, you're going to marry this person, or how specific do you get with your callers?
I can get real specific. It depends on – I don't know what I'm going to get before I talk to them, but you know, I'm not like, yeah, you're doing this and you're going to feel better soon, not kind of like general stuff. So I don't know what I'm going to get when people call, but I can usually answer stuff about relationships, family, past, future, career, all that kind of stuff.
Well, Jerry, let's put the rubber to the road. Let's get some predictions from you today. And I'll tell you what, this will be like a tester. And if things work out, if you do a good job today, then we'll have you back. You'll be like the house psychic if you could do some
good
predictions.
Idea.
If you can
give
me some predictions,
call in, I can give him help.
If you could have some predictions that come to pass.
But they have to be specific, and they have to be things that we can follow up on, that we can see whether they happen or not. Like, I saw the tape of you on TV in San Diego where you said the royal wedding's coming up next year. This was in 2011. You said the royal wedding's coming up. I think it's going to be nice. I mean, that's the kind of prediction that I just say, you know, not good enough.
But he was right, Bean. You have to give him that.
Well, it was nice.
It was a very nice event.
you cherry-picked that little part there. When you
right.
Put the rest of it in there.
But I'm giving an example of what we're not looking for. But give us some specifics of some things that you see likely to happen, say, in the first half of 2012.
Great idea.
How about if I do all of 2012?
Oh, even better.
Right. That's fine.
Okay, so I'm not trying to be dark here, and remember, I could be wrong. Okay, so please keep that in mind. And I know it sounds like being, you don't really have much faith in psychics anyway, and I get it.
I don't, but, but I'm also open-minded. Look, there are a lot of things that go on in this world that I don't understand, and you could have a special ability. I'm happy to meet you and see what you got.
Thanks, same to you. Here's one thing I see. I see that the USA will definitely get an earthquake. I think it's definitely going to happen this year. Timing can be off. I've only predicted one earthquake in my entire life, and it's not something I usually even predict. But remember that one that happened in June 2010, like in Southern California? There was like a big 5.4, 5.7. It was like June 14th.
But those are so common, even in Southern California. A 5, we barely remember those a week after they happen, you know? They happen all
say,
the time.
All I can say is, like, literally 10 minutes before it happened, I put a thing on my Facebook that I thought we were about to get an earthquake. So, you know, and you guys can look it up. And,
oh,
you know,
okay.
And so,
right.
You know,
well, that's
so,
impressive.
You know,
so you're getting that sense again.
How powerful an earthquake, Jerry, and where?
Here's what I see. I know you're in Seattle. I am concerned about Seattle.
Oh, sweet.
I think it's going to be 7.2, 7.9 plus. I think it could be Seattle. I'm also concerned about Yellowstone. Of course, California is always a risk, but particularly Seattle. I am worried about that area. Also,
well, we have the Nisqually Fault here. I mean, I've lived through a 7.1 earthquake in Seattle since I've lived here. So, I mean, they certainly do happen. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
Good.
I see that happening. I also want to say this. You know, there is going to be a lot more. I know they even had it on the news the other day that, you know, that solar activity that's increased. Have you guys heard about that?
Yeah, a lot of fires.
I think, you know, and then all the scientists are like, it's no problem, we're protected. I disagree with this statement. I think that there's going to be much more solar activity than they realize. You know that whole 2012 planetary alignment thing, you know, mm-hmm. the end of days, that whole thing. I don't know if it's going to be the end of days, but I do think that you know how the moon affects like the tides? Mm-hmm. There's something about the planets affecting and the solar flares affecting the magma underneath the Earth, the flow of that, which I think is going to cause a lot more activity, a lot more earthquakes, a lot more weather. I also want to say this about the weather. You know how we've had a mild winter generally?
Yeah.
I'm predicting it will not end up being a mild winter. I know it's almost done, but my prediction is it will not be a mild winter.
Oh,
I think we're going to get a lot of drastic weather this year, more than even normal. I know with last year was kind of a record. I see more of that, more. I don't see less. I don't think that was an anomaly. I think a lot of these changes are coming in, and it's kind of increasing like the speed of these issues. You know, and this is almost, it's almost normal Earth activity. You know, we were once Pansania. We were once one, you know, like there's lots of changes that have gone on.
Right.
We just haven't experienced them for a while.
The thing about predicting weather, though, I mean, it's such a large area, even within the United States. You can say crazy weather year, and at the end of 2012, you're going to be able to say, well, look, they had that terrible drought in Texas, or look, they had those huge floods in Arkansas, wherever they end up having. I mean, that kind of does give you a lot of cover.
Well, how about,
I need something. How about something more specific?
Well, when's the last time we had a 7.2 to 7.9 plus earthquake that hit in continental U.S.?
That's been a long time. Now, if that happens, I go, hey, Jerry warned us.
That'll be something.
If I'm still alive. Do you have? Do you predict anything for celebrities? Is that something that a reading that you get, Jerry?
Yes. Who do you want to know about?
Just whoever you're feeling. I mean, if you've got something that would surprise us or something that you think is definitely going to happen for somebody famous this year, that's the type of thing that we could easily say whether it did or not at the end.
A lot about poor Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah. What's you know, going to happen, Jennifer Aniston? You get any hits off of her?
Not really.
No. Okay.
Well, not really.
How about Brad Pitt? How about you, Ralph? You got any ideas?
You want me to predict something about her? I predict a breakup.
All right. I can do that. Oh, yeah.
Her boyfriends always predict that, too.
Yeah.
How about Brad and Angelina? Anything going on with those two crazy kids?
I think that'll continue to be good.
Oh, good.
And I think those two are going to continue to stay together. You want to talk about Demi Moore?
Oh, sure. Oh,
okay.
Yeah,
okay, first of all, that lady... it's almost like I think she's a Scorpio, and Scorps are always a little bit unusual.
Yeah. You know?
Tell me about it. I do think the woman will come out of it. She's a very spiritual woman, and that woman will kind of almost make a – I don't know if she gets into more causes than she's into normally or whatnot. I don't see those two getting back together. I think they're permanently done. Mm-hmm. And I also,
well, because of all those chicks he banged, though. I mean, that's easy, Jerry. Come on.
Well, you know, some people try to get back.
Stranger things happen.
All right. Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Let me ask you this. PsychicFitness.com is the website. Jerry Hosky, our guest, in our remaining moments here on the Kevin Beach Show. Let me throw some specifics and see what kind of a read you get on this. For instance, type of thing that's easy for us to source. The Oscars are coming up.
Oh, there we go.
Best picture will be what?
Gosh, I don't know. That's my area, to tell you the truth. I don't even know what's even a...
Oh, okay.
It's God's area. He should be able to just send you a message and beam something in
there. I would say this. Like, you know, some of my things are like, it's like you know, like sports, for instance.
Yeah.
I think the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl. I also think they're going to win it handily.
Oh,
like gilt-edged. They're going to have a gilt-edged day and dedicated to mama and the whole thing.
All right.
And I could be wrong about that. It's almost like sports and these kinds of things. It's almost like it's not like a spiritual lesson kind of thing. So,
right.
Okay, how about this then? Who will be the Republican nominee for president, and who will win the general election in 2012?
I'll tell you who's going to win the election. Assuming he stays safe, Obama's going to win the election hands down.
Okay. Who will the Republicans put up against him?
That I'm a little unsure. I think it might be Romney. What I see about Romney is this. The dude kind of reminds me like of an orange. It looks okay, and there's nothing you can totally poke at, but you turn the orange around, it looks like it's a little bit rotten on the other side,
mm-hmm.
and you're sorry you took a bite out of it. There's an energy about Romney that no matter how hard he tries to kind of like make people okay with him or make people ingratiated, there's something about the dude that people just aren't going to end up voting for.
He has the best hair of any candidate I've seen in my lifetime.
He looks presidential.
Yeah. He looks presidential. He's got phenomenal hair.
You know,
but his underside is rotting, Bean. He's a rotten orange.
Jerry, we only have time for one more. Do you have one more that you've been sitting on, something that you're feeling that you can't wait to share with the world? Now's your chance. And we've got this on tape, so we're going to be able to go back to it and source you.
I don't really like to share about health or issues with health with people because I don't want to limit somebody. But I am concerned about Oprah Winfrey's health, and I am worried about her reaching 70. I think that woman, I think the stress of this network thing is a lot worse than she is letting on. Mm. I think she's freaking out about it more than she is saying.
So you think Oprah's going to die young?
I don't really want to say that. I hope I'm wrong. I like Oprah.
How old is she now, Bean? Do you have any idea?
She's got to be late 50s, right?
Yeah.
That's my guess.
Yeah.
That's my guess. I know she looks terrible, but you're saying you'd be surprised if she makes it to 70?
Another 10, huh?
There's something about her in the 70th year or something. I don't like to say these kind of things. I could be definitely wrong.
Well, you feel what you feel. You can't 100. Help that.
But there's something about her. I also think it's related to heart and the diet yo-yo stuff. And I also think the stress of this network thing is like she doesn't know what to do with it. I think it's a lot worse than she's saying, although she's got plenty of room to do it because they're not going to like fire or anything.
Well, we'll have you back in 10 years and we'll see how that prediction all worked out.
Look, I'm glad we got a chance to meet you, Jerry. You could be completely full of crap, but I enjoyed the talk anyway. Yeah. And you know what? We may keep you on file, though. As Ralph pointed out, you know, things come up from time to time. Maybe we'll just give you a call every once in a while and see what your feeling is on how something's going to go.
Follow me in, and, you know, people, maybe we can have me on some of these predictions come in and people can call in or whatever. So I'd be happy to do it.
Sounds great.
PsychicFitness.com, and you can follow Jerry at Jerry Hoskey on the Twitter. Thanks for coming in, dude. We'll talk to you. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on 106.7 KRQ. The great Tito Ortiz joins us coming up next hour. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up. First, though, let's talk burping, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay!
Let's talk burping. 1-800-520-1067. We are looking for burpers here today. We won't spend much time on this, but we were fascinated because a couple of days ago, in a sound montage at the beginning of the show, we ended up playing the awesome clip of Will Ferrell as Buddy the Elf from the great movie Elf, and we were all kind of refascinated by listening to this.
Did you hear that?
No, I missed it. Sorry, buddy. Do it again. And we were wondering, is it possible that that's real? Is there anybody who can burp like that? I'm sure Will Ferrell didn't do it. Is it some sort of movie magic? What's the deal? Well, we did a little bit of research, Lisa, and we found out that the belch, which, by the way, is 12 seconds long, was supplied by voice actor Maurice LaMarche, who is also the brain on Pinky and the Brain.
Oh, okay.
How about that?
Do we know if he did it all?
We don't. We know that he's the guy who did the burp, but who knows how much of it was editing, if they put a couple of burps together or took one burp and then, you know, just doubled it or tripled it or something like that. So we started wondering, who can burp like that? And that's why we want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. I mean, most of the burps that we hear, you know, like Snooki, for instance, a couple of weeks ago on the Jersey Shore, this is a more typical burp you might hear.
Oh, my God.
But every once in a while, you can be impressed. Like, remember when Jessica Simpson had her reality show and we heard this? And I was like, I mean, first of all, she's a delicate flower. But second of all, that's pretty impressive.
It really is.
Chip did a little bit of research on burping. The longest burp. Now, we heard a 12-second burp from the movie Elf. The longest burp, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, Lisa. Think about what's involved in making that sound. Think about what has to be going on in your stomach, what has to be going on in your mouth. What do you think that the longest burp is in the Guinness Book?
People are crazy. I'm going to say 8 seconds.
8 seconds. Okay, that's a pretty good guess. What do you think there, Beer Mugs?
I'm going to go 20 seconds.
Ooh,
20 seconds. Okay. Crazy. All right, longest burp by Michelle Forgone from Italy happened on the 16th of June, 2009 in a competition. 1 minute, 13 seconds, 57 milliseconds. A minute, 13. Wow. How about that?
Oh, my God. Wow.
So I don't expect we're going to find a world champion burper. I don't think we're going to get a minute. I'd be stunned if we could get 30 seconds.
Yeah.
But apparently people can do it. I mean, can you guys burp at all on command?
Not on command, no.
Not at all.
Really?
No.
I think that's why I was interested in this. I'm a little envious. I'm such a I'm failing here.
Hold on, let me get one. Go on.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That's Very right? well done. Very well done.
Why are burps funny?
I don't know. They just are. But Elf is the one to beat. We have a very talented audience, many of whom don't have jobs, so they've got a lot of time to sit around and work on things like this. So we want to hear from you if you are a great burper. I don't think we've ever done this before, mm-hmm. but now is your opportunity to shine. Are you a great burper? You can prove it. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls. And I hope there are people listening while they're eating breakfast here today, because this is very entertaining. Your calls coming up. Thank you, former President Johnson. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. We're talking about burping. 1-800-520-1067. Thanks, Lisa May. Good idea.
Yeah, you're welcome.
How good are you at burping? That's what we want to know. Let's try Taylor. He's on line one here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Is it a skill that comes in handy? Is it a party trick? Is it something you impress your friends with? Is it something your friends hate you for? And what can you give us? Because I'm sorry, that 12 seconds from Elf is maybe my favorite burp I've ever seen in the movies. Taylor, welcome to the show, man. Thanks for hanging on. What's going on?
Not much, yeah. I used to piss my parents off when I was a kid, so, yeah. I've just been able to do it since I was a little kid.
I'm so surprised, just asking around the Kevin and Bean office here, that I'm the only one of us on the show who can burp on command. That's shocking to me. I just assumed it was something everybody could do.
Yeah, me too. I didn't know. I thought it was pretty common.
All right. What do you got, dude? Let's hear it.
All right.
Pretty nice. Ooh, wow. See, that's impressive to go four in a row.
Yeah,
wow.
But still, aren't we looking for long, like one well, long?
Aren't you always?
Right.
Oh, you got more in you? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We're getting too close to vomiting now. Thank you, Taylor. Let's try Lizzie. Let's bring the delicate young flower that is Lizzie onto the show here. I think she can beat that caller, Taylor. Hi, okay. Lizzie.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Good.
What's it like being a girl who has burping abilities?
So my girlfriends hate it. The guys all like it, and I can just keep going and going and going. They're not. Some big ones will come out, but there are a lot of little ones just keep going.
What's your technique? How do you do it? How do you get ready to go?
I really don't know. I've just always been able to do it.
Okay.
All right. Well, you were impressed with the Will Ferrell burp from Elf, right?
Yes, of course.
All right. I'm not anticipating you can beat that, but let's hear what you got.
All right.
What the hell is going on?
Those just sound like short little burps.
They are short little burps, but then one big one will come out at the end, but they'll just keep on going, little ones, over and over, and I can keep just doing it.
Wow. That is a useless skill, isn't it? Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. All right.
I'm rethinking this, Bean.
It sounded like a good idea at the time. Yeah. Let's try Gary real quick. I know we don't have much time. Gary's on line 8. He joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Gary, I am told that loud is what you go for. That's your specialty, is loud, right?
Right. I've been doing this since I was a kid. It's a gift.
Our friend Mark Thompson, TV personality Mark Thompson, remember, used to be the weatherman on Channel 11. He hosted a Guinness Book of World Records show where they actually set the record on television. Here's a piece of tape of the guy the day that they set the Guinness Book of World Records for the loudest burp.
3, 2, 1, burp.
And I guess they had a decibel meter right there on the TV screen, and apparently it was that was the record. So what do you got, dude?
All right, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me get ready. All right, I have to swallow air.
Okay.
Understood.
Oh, wait, get warm, get warm.
That wasn't bad.
Get warm. that was a bad one.
That one had some solids in it. We don't need that.
It's hard to do it on command.
Of course it is. Yeah, all right, what...
There it is.
You know, Gary's got volume, too. Yeah. I got to tell you, that is not a wimpy burp. That's very impressive, dude.
That's the best
dude.
One we've had.
It comes from deep within.
Okay. All right. We got to go. Thanks. We have time for just one more. Let's make it Alfonso. Alfonso says he's got a long burp in him. He's ready to share. Alfonso, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello, Kevin Bean. Hello, Lisa May.
Hello, Alfonso.
Yeah. Listen to the way you say that, man. You know you're about to impress your lady friend, Lisa May, here. All right. What's your strategy here, man?
Well, I've just been able to do it since I was a little kid, and I can do a couple of different kinds of burps. I can go loud, I can go long, but there's one that my friends told me it sounds like a machine gun because I just go continuously, and I've done it for like a minute or more.
Wow.
Like short, loud burps.
You know what? I think we had a little bit of that from an earlier caller. I think we'd rather go with long. I think we're looking for long if you can hook us up with that.
I'll try to do a little bit, maybe just a little bit of everything.
Okay.
Okay. All right. What is happening?
Wow.
What is happening?
It's like an orchestra.
Alfonso's
seriously.
The winner.
Alfonso, well done, sir. Thanks for calling. Tito Ortiz himself joins us coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's actually the people's champion now, Ralph. He's called the people's champion now.
He is.
That's what they say. Will he fight again? Well, I do know one thing. You can meet him this weekend. He'll tell us about that coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Friday. What's happening?
Porn star Kim Kardashian in the news. Apparently, the producer of the series Drop Dead Diva. Are you familiar with Drop Dead Diva?
I know the name. I don't know anything about it.
It's a hilarious comedy over on Lifetime, which is known for its hilarious comedy, by the way. It's a sitcom about a beautiful, shallow, aspiring model who dies in a sudden accident, and her soul is reincarnated into the body of a brilliant, thoughtful, but fat attorney.
Okay.
Can you imagine being a thin, beautiful woman trapped inside the body of a fat, smart attorney?
Yes.
You can't imagine that?
Yeah, I've seen the show.
No need to watch it. You've seen the show!
I did. I watched it twice.
Oh, Lisa! How can we help you? We have to send you to some
like
sort
it
of
might
clinic.
Be fun, but it wasn't.
Lisa is more a problem than she is a solution.
She is. Well, the producer has announced he has written a role for porn star Kim Kardashian, and she is going to be a regular recurring character on the series on the upcoming fourth season of Drop Dead Diva.
She can't act, though, can she?
It doesn't seem to matter to this guy.
Yeah, okay.
He said, I'm ecstatic to welcome Kim to the Diva family. In discussing the role of Nikki with her, I'm blown away by her smarts, sense of humor, and passion. The series is all about reinvention, and I'm so excited to see Kim reinvented in the world of Drop Dead Diva.
Hmm.
Where's that murder button? We used to have a murder button around here, didn't we? Did we
yeah,
have a murder
what
button around here someplace?
Button?
We lost the murder button. It was a little round thing. Couldn't miss it. It was a round thing, and it was a button that said murder on it. And then we used to press it, and then whoever we pointed it towards would die from a long distance.
Murder.
There we go. Now we're talking. Sadly, the producer of Drop Dead Diva is dead. He dropped dead. We were talking about this Super Bowl commercial tease.
Tito Ortiz himself joins us coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's actually the people's champion now, Ralph. He's called the people's champion now.
He is.
That's what they say. Will he fight again? Well, I do know one thing. You can meet him this weekend. He'll tell us about that coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Friday. What's happening?
Porn star Kim Kardashian in the news. Apparently, the producer of the series Drop Dead Diva. Are you familiar with Drop Dead Diva?
I know the name. I don't know anything about it.
It's a hilarious comedy over on Lifetime, which is known for its hilarious comedy, by the way. It's a sitcom about a beautiful, shallow, aspiring model who dies in a sudden accident, and her soul is reincarnated into the body of a brilliant, thoughtful, but fat attorney.
Okay.
Can you imagine being a thin, beautiful woman trapped inside the body of a fat, smart attorney?
Yes.
You can't imagine that?
Yeah, I've seen the show.
No need to watch it. You've seen the show!
I did. I watched it twice.
Oh, Lisa! How can we help you? We have to send you to some
like
sort
it
of clinic.
Be fun, but it wasn't.
Lisa is more a problem than she is a solution.
She is. Well, the producer has announced he has written a role for porn star Kim Kardashian, and she is going to be a regular recurring character on the series on the upcoming fourth season of Drop Dead Diva.
She can't act, though, can she?
It doesn't seem to matter to this guy.
Yeah, okay.
He said, I'm ecstatic to welcome Kim to the Diva family. In discussing the role of Nikki with her, I'm blown away by her smarts, sense of humor, and passion. The series is all about reinvention, and I'm so excited to see Kim reinvented in the world of Drop Dead Diva.
Hmm.
Where's that murder button? We used to have a murder button around here, didn't we? Did we have a murder button around here someplace?
Button?
We lost the murder button. It was a little round thing. Couldn't miss it. It was a round thing, and it was a button that said murder on it. And then we used to press it, and then whoever we pointed it towards would die from a long distance.
Murder.
There we go. Now we're talking. Sadly, the producer of Drop Dead Diva is dead. He dropped dead. We were talking about this Super Bowl commercial tease that they're teasing us with. Teases. It's Matthew Broderick reprising his role as Ferris Bueller. And it opens the same exact way the movie opens. You know, in the original film, he opens the curtains to his window in his bedroom and looks out and says, how can I possibly face school on a day like this? And that kicks off Ferris's adventure. It's his day off adventure. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. And they're reprising it now. They've got a commercial during the Super Bowl. Apparently, Matthew Broderick is going to come back, play Ferris as a grown man. And all they're going to show us is this much of it.
How can I handle work on a day like today?
It's always saying, what is it about? What is it? What's the commercial going to be? Is it? Are they talking about a sequel to the movie? Which, when you see the commercial, you will desire a sequel mm-hmm. to Ferris Bueller. But it's not about that. And finally, we got some details. Some folks gave me some information. There has been a little information made available. Apparently, it's a Honda commercial.
Oh, okay.
It's a Honda
it's not
commercial.
As good as a Ferris Bueller movie.
No, but I didn't think it was going to be that anyway. I thought it was for some product. I just was hoping it wasn't for Doritos or something, you know? Yeah. So this is for Honda, which doesn't surprise me because I think Matthew is the voice of Honda. I think he does their VOs for their TV commercials. But apparently they're going to recreate as much of the film as they can in the span of this minute commercial or whatever. And it will feature him driving in a Honda, apparently. And Todd Phillips, director of The Hangover and Hangover Part 2 in Old School, he apparently directed the commercial. So well, great pedigree, and I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. So
I'm excited, too.
Now I have a reason to watch the Super Bowl. Other than hoping an asteroid comes and hits both teams while they're on the field.
Will he be standing on the back of a Honda going down streets in Chicago during a parade while he sings Twist and Shout?
I hope so. It'd be great if they could get Mia, whatever her name was, and Alan, whatever his name was.
Oh, yeah.
Get the old gang back together. It'd be nice if they have cameos in there.
Sure.
He still works.
He works a lot, that Alan.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Guy. Unforgettable. What's his name?
No, Alan.
I like him.
Alan's good.
I know who you're talking
about. I like
about,
Alan. Yeah. He was on Spin City for many seasons. Mm-hmm. He was very talented actor.
Is it
Rock? No, Rock. Alan Rock.
Yeah. I think that's right.
Oh, what do I win? And Mia.
I'm not even going to look it up.
Mia.
That chick from that movie.
Yeah, it's not pretty. Kirshner, though. It's not Mia Kirshner. Mm-hmm. Mia. Today's celebrity birthdays. Don't even bother, people. Don't write. Don't call. I'll find out.
We don't care that much.
We don't care computers. That much. I'll go Google it. I'll be fine. Don't need to. Don't need to answer a bunch of emails saying Mia's last
name. Would you like to know what she's been doing lately?
I don't. No. Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to be in this commercial. Right. Today's celebrity birthdays. James Cromwell. He's 72 years old today. Good, good actor. Mimi Rogers turns 56. Bridget Fonda, 48 years old. Alan Cumming. Currently, you can see him on... Stop it. You can see him on The Good Wife, which is one of my favorite TV shows. 47 years old, Mike Patton from Faith No More is 44. Tricky celebrates his 44th birthday. Lil Jon.
What's happening?
He's 41 years old.
You need to go to Riddleweed.
Okay. One of our favorite people on the planet, Patton Oswalt, comedian, actor, all-around good guy. He is 43 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Tito Ortiz, you smell good. How do you do it?
With Big Man Deodorant. When it comes to body odor, it kicks butt.
Tito is swinging for the fences.
Tito has a great look in his eyes. The old Tito is back.
Tito's conditioning is second to none. His work ethic is second to none.
I'm always just looking for, you know, great fights and the biggest fights out there.
Tito wades in with a big right hand.
Look at the smile on the face of Ortiz. Tito's starting to have fun. Starting to look like the Tito of old.
One of the greatest champions in the history of the UFC. Always a thrill to welcome Tito Ortiz back to the Kevin Amicha. How you feeling, man? What's going on?
Good, Bean. How are you?
Doing great. Hey, happy belated birthday. I understand you had quite the party in Las Vegas. Tell me about that for your birthday this week.
Yeah, actually, I was at XS at the Wynn Hotel. Of course, Jesse Waits is my buddy, and he owns the club, and I want to do it in style, you know? You only turn 37 once.
That's right, man.
We had a great time.
It looked great. I saw some of the pictures online. It looked like a hell of a party. How does it feel being 37 when you've spent the last 20 years abusing your body for your job? Does it hurt when you get up in the morning, Tito, or are you feeling okay?
Yeah, it's not too bad. I think I got my surgeries done and I recovered from it. I'm doing a lot better than I was prior to that. I kind of felt like, you know, when I was 36,
In your line of work, and I know you're a businessman, you're moving on and doing a lot of other things in addition to UFC, and we're going to talk about punishment and talk about the event this weekend. But in your line of work, I mean, 37 is getting near the upper age of where you can realistically compete in the octagon, right?
Yeah, of course. But there's another other guy like Randy Couture, who fought until he was 47, 48.
Right.
Retired. But I'm not going to do that. You know, I want to make sure I take care of my body. You know, I have three boys to take care of, family. And I've done my stomp in the octagon as long as I have, you know, defending the world title longer than any light heavyweight has ever done. And, you know, I made a pretty much a foundation of all my business together with Punishment, you know, Punishment Athletics, Punishment Nutrition, my gym, Punishment Training Center. I'm just trying to, you know, tree out to different types of consumer spots where I can make money, not just try to kill myself in the cage.
Absolutely, and you're a smart man for doing that, too. I mean, you defended your title, what, like five times or something, right? I mean, you're a legend. Now, will you fight? Will you fight again? I know the rumors are floating around that you got one more in you, maybe this summer or something like that. What do you know about that, Tito?
Yeah, I have one more in me. I'm guaranteed one more fight, so I will be fighting hopefully in July. I would love to, but I guess it really goes down to Dana and Lorenzo making who I'm going to fight and when I'm going to fight. But I mean, that's just something that's a dream of my own that I would like to have, is fighting July. So I'm gonna get my body a little time off. You know, last year I fought three times, literally.
Right, that was a lot. Yeah.
And it's a lot, you know, for me, for my body. You know, I had a fusion, the L4-5-S1 in my lower back, C6, C7 fused in my neck. And
unbelievable.
I just don't want to have those injuries anymore. You know, people don't understand the things I've gone through my career. Most athletes don't come out and compete, and I have. You know, and it just shows what type of hard determination that I have, that I don't stop. Once I have my mindset on something, I'll continue to, like, complete those goals.
Yeah, I don't doubt that at all. I mean, look, we all know how tough you are mentally, but you're also smart enough to listen to your body, so more power to you. All right, you mentioned Punishment. This is your clothing company that you've had for a long time, right? I mean, haven't you had this thing for over 10 years, right?
Yeah, since 1999 is when I started it.
And what made
it? It's own mom-and-pop store. So I own it straight out. It's my company. I have three employees that work for me, Tracy, Cindy, and Rudy, that work very, very hard for me. And I was trying to build a team right now, you know, just trying to build a team of you know, the clothing company side, it's really hard. So many companies go up and they make their money, they spend so much, and they go under. You know, I'm one of the only companies besides Tap Out that's been around for so long.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to make it in that industry. I mean, as hard as it is to make it in the UFC, making it in the clothing business is almost as hard. I mean, it has to be an unbelievable combination of hard work and luck. But Punishment is a brand that people know. I mean, you guys are everywhere, right?
Yeah, you know, the show that's on MTV right now, Cage, mostly amateur guys are trying to be pros, and we sponsor the show, we sponsor the fighters, just give them an opportunity. You know, I want to try to get some young guys that are coming up who want to be world champions, and a couple of the guys on there, Danger and Daniel and Tony, actually are under 21 years old, so get these young guys up, give them hope that business acumen of not just being fighters, but take care of themselves after their career is over. And this is what I kind of think forward to give back for the young fighters that are coming up in the years now.
Well, if you've ever wanted to meet Tito Ortiz, you've got a chance this weekend. The 2012 Bodybuilding.com LA Fitness Expo is happening at the LA Convention Center. It's going to be Saturday and Sunday, right? Tomorrow night or tomorrow during the day and Sunday during the day. And you're going to be there virtually all day at the Punishment booth on Saturday meeting people, right?
Yes. Actually, we have our own nutrition line, of course, Punishment Nutrition. I'll be there for about 12 p.m. until closing time, because I was there for all my fans. Make sure everybody gets an autograph. Our booth is at booth 354 at the LA Fit Expo, and I'll be signing there. And I want to see the guys be signing there, too. So it's exciting for the fans.
Yeah, I'm glad you gave out the booth number 354, because I know how huge that convention center is. And this bodybuilding expo thing that goes on, the LA Fitness Expo, rather, it has so many stuff. I mean, it's one of those things where you just spend the whole day there and go booth to booth to booth and find out everything that has to do with fitness and diet and the whole deal, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's a new year. Not a lot of people get trimmed for winter, or excuse me, for summer. Way to do it is to go over here. Of course, check out my expo, or my booth, and Punishment Nutrition and the line that I came out with. You know, I've been battling my body so much to find the great things to able to cut the weight and to achieve the goals I wanted to as a fighter. And the only way to do that is take supplements. And
yeah,
some of the stuff that I came with myself and made with the taste, the flavoring. I did all the designing of it. And just got to have a business acumen of finding something else besides of buying everybody else's. If I could buy my own, I have so many fans that give back to me, and it's time to give back to them now.
Damn, you're a renaissance man. 2012 Bodybuilding.com LA Fitness Expo. Go to VFitExpo.com. Meet Tito down there starting at noon tomorrow. Hey, how's Jenna doing? How are the babies, man? How's that all working out?
I'm doing really good. Actually, the boys are on a walk right now. Just taking a little nap. You know, we go back and forth through the day. But she's doing awesome, man. Great mother. She's everything I always wanted in a girl and, of course, a girlfriend and a mother of my children.
No, she's awesome. We've been having her on this show for many, many years. We haven't talked to her in a while. But definitely tell her Kevin and Bean said hey, okay?
Oh, for sure, 100%.
All right, Tito, have a great weekend, man. We love you. We'll talk to you soon.
Ron, thank you, man. Of course, all my fans, you can follow me at Tito Ortiz on Twitter. Of course, come on this weekend, Friday, and actually Saturday and Sunday from 12 until closing. Expo booth 354. Tito Ortiz, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Done. Ah, perfect way to end the week with the Red Hot Chili Peppers Adventures of Rain Dance Maggie, huh? Yeah. Because this is the transition in my life where I go from playing the Red Hot Chili Peppers on the radio, and then once we pull the plug and we're off the air, then I just go listen to their CDs all weekend long.
Me too.
So it's just a nonstop, just seamless transition from radio to private.
Yep.
All right. Rob is here with our final look at the showbiz beat for the week here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, man?
Bean, I just want to double check. What time are you getting to the John Lovitz Theater tomorrow night? Because I know you said you want to do a an evening with Adam West, so I just want to make sure I knew what time to look for you there.
I very much would like to be there in person.
You've said that over and over again, so I'm assuming you'll be there, what, 7-ish? Doors are at 7,
but
I think.
Not enough to actually get on a plane and fly to L.A. to see it. Although if I were in town, and the people listening who are in town should definitely get tickets and come see it, because it's going to be a great, great event.
I just checked in. I think we have like 6 or 7 seats left. That's it. We are practically sold out, which is cool because I really wanted this event to be sold out. I wanted a nice full house for Adam when we sit down. And
he's a legend.
He is a legend. We're going to talk about his life and career over 2 hours. And now that I'm putting the show together to get ready to do tomorrow night at 8 at the Lovitz Theater, you can go to thelovitz.com for the few remaining tickets. As I'm putting it together, I'm thinking, oh, I'm screwed. I don't have nearly enough time. This guy's been show business for 50 years and had quite the life before that. So how do I fit a man's entire life into 2 hours of conversation? How do you do that?
Yeah.
How do you talk about Batman and Family Guy and all the voiceover stuff and the movies that he's done and his three marriages and his kids and living in Hawaii and being a milkman in New Jersey? I mean, he's had a life. He used to be a tour pilot in a small plane on the Hawaiian Islands. That's how he made his cash when he was a struggling actor.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
He would fly tourists around the islands, let them see it from a plane, from a small plane.
Wow.
What would that have sounded like, Ralph?
Didn't have a license, by the way.
No
pilot's license. Friend taught him how to fly the plane.
Was this in the 30s or something?
The 50s, but I guess things were pretty lax back then. You didn't really need a license so much.
God.
That made me a little nervous.
On your left, you'll see an active volcano. Oh, it's going to be so much fun. I wish I could be there, but there's no way to get from point A to point B, Ralph.
I know.
The technology doesn't exist that I can get from this location to your location.
Maybe I'll have Adam come up and fly you down. Apparently, he'll do it without a license. He doesn't care.
Sure. Yeah. Why not?
The best part about Adam, too, is he's crazy.
He is crazy.
We'll be on the stage for 2 hours talking. Who knows what he's going to come up with? But
hey, baby. Want to take a gander at some Adam West penis?
That could happen tomorrow night, too. Who knows?
Oh, wow.
Depends on how many glasses of wine I can get him to drink before we get going. Before I get to the showbiz news, some quick emails regarding today's show. I think they are well taken. Bean, of course, won't boil his lobsters. He's got living in his fridge.
Yes, so they've become pets now, Pinchy and Cloy. I don't think I have the stones to kill them.
Longtime listener Edwin writes, Bean won't boil the cockroaches of the sea, but he puts us through burp radio? Talk about cruelty.
That's true. Hey, that was Lisa's idea, by the way.
Doesn't care about the listener, just the lobsters. And regarding our last break about the News of the Globe, my new favorite newsman, Hector writes, how do we know that the News of the Globe guy isn't just Kevin doing a British accent? Yeah, that's a point we're taking, too.
Hey, if Kevin is out sick much longer, we may hire the News of the Globe guy to replace him.
Bring in Globy. Let him get to work. All right, let's talk showbiz news, shall we? Oh, Steve-O. Poor Steve-O. He's so
What's going on with Steve-O?
Clean, and now he's being sued. Suzanne Oman is her name. She is suing Steve-O and the producers of his new television program with a lawsuit. It's called Killer Karaoke.
Yeah, dude.
Here's what happens. Steve-O's the host. You try to sing a song. And while you do that, they try to, they distract you, to say the least. You know, like pelting you with garbage and screaming at you, and in this case, spraying you down with a fire hose. Well,
sounds like good, clean fun to me.
Apparently, Ms. Oman was singing, trying her best to win the singing competition when she was sprayed down with water, slipped and fell, and she claims broke a number of bones, including her tibia, patella, tore some ligaments. damaged her knee and leg.
Oh, my.
Did she not know what she was stepping on stage to do?
Of course she did. But okay. Look, she didn't get a chance to become a superstar, so she's got to sue somebody, right?
I got news for you. Steve-O doesn't have any money. Drop your lawsuit.
That's true. Understandably, she had to undergo surgery. She might have more operations in the future. And she's claiming she wants unspecified damages for not only her damage, but the fact that her husband needs to be paid because the legal term is loss of consortium.
Oh, come on.
She can't bang, in other
He's
words.
He's being deprived of his marital benefits because of her injuries.
I need to have proof of what the benefits were before.
So he should get some money, too. They want him to get paid because
oh
she
God.
Can't. She's too too banged up to bang, I guess is what you'd say.
Look, Steve-O is flying to Twin Falls, Idaho again this weekend to set his junk on fire. Believe me, he wouldn't do that if he had cash, lady.
Sad news of Robert Hedges, who played sweat hog Juan Epstein on the legendary sitcom Welcome Back, Kotter, has passed away.
Hmm.
He died Thursday of an apparent heart attack at his home in Metuchen, New Jersey. Just 60 years old, and Bean was heartbroken because...
Well, I'm a big Welcome Back, Kotter fan, and yeah. He wasn't my favorite sweat hog,
no.
But I'm still sad to hear him go.
He's no Horseshack, I'll tell you that
He's
much.
No Horseshack. He's no Boom Boom. Come on.
Boom Boom.
Too much.
Brad Pitt used to be a hopeless stoner. Did you know this?
I do remember there were stories of him. In fact, I think he said that he just sat at his house between movies and smoked pot.
That's what he says. The interview in the Hollywood Reporter says in the late 90s, he would just sit on the couch and smoke out all day long. That's all he did.
And he didn't shower much.
Nope. He said, I smoked way too much pot. I used it to numb myself to sleep. I was turning into a donut, he said. And then he got a wake-up call, he claims, on a trip to Casablanca, where the extreme poverty and devastation of that society there showed him how spoiled he was. He stopped smoking pot cold turkey and decided to get off the couch and do something with his life, and that's when he started becoming an activist and getting involved in charitable concerns.
And that's why
See,
I love
Beer
him.
Mug, you can turn yourself around,
There's
Beer Mug.
You,
it's not
beer
too
mug.
Late.
All right.
He's nodding. It's radio. We need to, if you're going to say something, we need you to
Okay.
Mug's maybe there too far gone.
Sorry.
Rihanna in the news because of her new tattoos. TMZ's got the photos if you want to check it out. It's Rihanna in a tattoo parlor. And she got the words thug life written on her knuckles.
Because she's so gangsta, Ralph.
What's she doing? What is she doing? Again, what is she doing?
It's
one thing if you're Tupac
that.
To have thug life on you. It's another if right. you're Rihanna. You should get Revlon on your knuckles.
I mean, as I mentioned earlier, she's been a multimillionaire superstar since she was 17 years old. How tough is her life? She
not.
Grew up, as I understand, very middle class.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Not on the streets.
Nope.
She's not thug life.
No, she's not.
She's the opposite of thug life.
That's right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Lil Jon is 41 years old today. One of our favorite people on the planet, Patton Oswalt, from Young Adult, of course, most recently.
How crazy that they have the same birthday, by the way, because I always get them confused when I see them on TV.
Lil Jon and Patton?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Patton Oswalt is 43 years old today, one of my favorite people. Funny story, my wife for the longest time heard us talking about Patton Oswalt. She didn't know who Patton was. So every time I said we had Patton Oswalt on, she would say, oh, well, how would it go? I said, oh, very, very funny. And then years later, we were talking about it, and he was on television or something. I said, oh, there he is. She goes, it's one guy? I go, yeah. She goes, I thought it was a comedy team. She thought
Oswald.
I was saying Pat and Oswalt every time I talked about them. Pat and Oswalt. The comedy team of Pat and Oswalt.
That's funny.
Who's Pat and who's Oswalt? Mike Patton. Different Pat. Faith No More singer is 44 years old today. Alan Cumming. Spy Kids. Of course, Spice World. X-Men. And most currently, The Good Wife. He is 47 years old. Bridget Fonda is 48. Mimi Rogers turns 56 years old today, and actor James Cromwell, 72. Most importantly, on this date in 1756, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart was born.
Happy birthday, Amadeus.
I missed that song. We got to find a way to work that way back in. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph, and thanks to everybody for listening. We hope that the monkey feels better soon, and Kevin will be back joining us on Monday. We got a great show planned for you, including we'll tell you about Khloe Kardashian's radio show, believe it or not.
Great.
I guess now that it's been proven that we can do a show, I guess anyone could do a show.
I heard she does Food Truck Fridays on her show.
Really? Because that would be awful. Also, our friend Dr. Mo had to cancel today. He was in surgery. But Lisa, if you can survive the weekend, Dr. Mo will tell you whether you have malaria or not, because I know that's what you're thinking right now. You can hit that song anytime there, Beerbug. Plus, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, and we're going to meet the 36-year-old internet billionaire, Ralph, who wants to buy the Dodgers. How about that?
Yeah.
It's all Monday.
Old Bogart that joins my friend.
And they do.
Pass it over to me.
Watch out, everyone. It's all bad.
Don't Bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I am currently trying to conceal a massive erection.
Roll another one.
Where's the outrage there?
Just like the other one.
How can you love it? It's crap.